this is William Fink. This is Thursday, September 2nd, 2010. This is the Christogenia Euro Fellowship call. Good afternoon, everybody. How are we doing? Hello, Sussex okay. Man. You missed the pre-show discussion, but that's okay. I'm glad you're here.
Yes, the phone just went as I was about to log in, so that's why I was a bit late coming in.
Oh, that's okay. Dorcas's phone was ringing during the intro, right? That's okay. It's just an extra instrument in Braveheart, right?
And how's it with June tonight?
Yeah, well, June isn't able to join us because she hasn't got a computer yet. I've got it down here.
Okay. Okay.
And, of course, as you know, she's about 250 miles away.
Well, it's 55 degrees up north.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Now, okay, I thought that you might have had it in the meantime, but okay. Next time she will have it.
I made some directory changes to the new Ensign file structure last week, and it broke the site, and I didn't even realize it. I have so many things going on. And all the PDFs were unavailable for about 2 weeks, and nobody told me about them. I guess nobody noticed or nobody looked. I don't know. The site's had a lot of traffic the last couple of weeks. It must have had, I would bet, 500-600 visits during the month of August, probably more than that.
That's incredible, isn't it? It's really good.
Well, right. I don't keep very close tabs on it because I keep tabs on all of the statistics for my what I consider to be my sites, and they're all rolled up into one. Yeah, you know, I don't have like the Dixie site or Clifton site rolled up into them, but I roll up the new Ensign site into with the Mein Kampf project and Christogenia and the Swift site. I roll all the statistics for those sites up at one into one lump, right?
Right.
And Christogenia, those four sites with Christogenia have been getting about 350 visits a day on average the last week and a half.
That is good.
So look.
Now, I remember looking at the new Ensign site and seeing like 2,400 visitors, and now it's up to 3,500. And that's within the last 30, 40 days, I would bet. So it's doing real good. It's doing well, and it's starting to pick up steam.
Amazing.
And I posted on the Crystal Laos program, we got a visit from a Lawrence Blanchard. I didn't realize he was one of the No Satan people. And he is. He has a couple of good books about the race of Adam, that come highly recommended. I haven't read them myself. And he seems to have a good attitude about a lot of things, but he wouldn't go into identifying Satan. And one of the other people in the forum challenged him, and he wouldn't go there. And that tells me right away he's a no Satan person. but I put a document that his wife wrote. His wife was raised as a missionary kid. And they've really come a long way to even get to identity, right?
Yes.
And I put an article from her under miscellaneous articles on the Mein Kampf site this week. On the new Ensign site this week. I'm getting them confused. I also put a memoriam to a dear friend and brother's own brother who was killed in a factory accident in Ireland last year.
Oh?
And it's always been suspected that he was killed for his identity beliefs. And I took the liberty of putting a little memorial on the new Ensign site to him. Pilgrim's also been posting a whole lot of documents on his site. She's worked on it for several days this week. And I've noticed that.
Yes,
so the new Ensign site will continue to grow and get even better.
Good.
I also put because of the interest in the vaccination program that we have, I also put a Bill Gates video on a new Ensign site this week. Bill Gates exposed.
That might be
Bill Gates states in this video explicitly that we will lower the world's population 10-15% through the use of vaccines.
See, there you are,
Vaccines are therefore designed to lower world population.
Well, he knows.
He said
exactly
it right in the video.
Doing.
It's amazing.
Well, we had there was an article on the New Ensign, I forget which edition, mentioning Bill Gates' support of vaccine genocide.
Yeah.
Well, another thing I did with the New Ensign this week.
Sorry?
You know that.
Another thing I did with the New Ensign this week is I took the archives and restructured them so that all of the New Ensign issues play on the site.
Oh. I have to have a look at that.
And there's a link to the PDF. But all of the New Ensign issues now play right on the site. I thought it was pretty cool.
Okay.
It certainly
and is. Each one is on its own separate page. And from now on, whenever I get a new Ensign, whenever we put one out, I'm going to make its own separate page and have the current months always on the front page also. Okay?
That'd be great.
Okay. Good.
So that'll be the procedure with that. Hopefully I'll get that editorial I'm supposed to write done this weekend. It's early. It's only September. It's not November yet, so.
That's right.
Time flies.
Right, it's only time to do the October one, Bill.
No, November.
Yeah.
Well, I mentioned this before on one of the Friday or Saturday shows. Well, Eli mentioned it. I looked this morning on Alexa.com, Christigenia, and this does not include my subdomains, right? This doesn't include the numbers from the New Ensign in the Mein Kampf site. Christigenia is ranked number 927,000 in world traffic and 534,000 in the U.S. Eli's site is ranked 964,000 in world traffic. We're really picking up. We're really getting a lot more traffic than we were a year ago. It's the identity message
comes through.
Seems to be really getting out there. I'm getting four or five positive emails a week, but they all come from new people I never heard of, but they all seem to come from the States.
Oh, good.
I just thought I'd throw that out there. I don't get any from Europe.
Yeah.
Well,
even though we get a lot of hits, right? We do get a lot of traffic from Europe.
Well, this week, and Sussexman will confirm this, one of our group was so vilified for the beliefs, and we were all, you know, brought in with this. And what we believed was described as vile and wicked and unbiblical, and it was said with great vehemence. And, you know, please don't ever dream of darkening our church again, sort of thing. Not that we would have done, but. So that's the kind of reception we're getting here.
And I guess that's related from the letter I got, you know, that I was sent a copy of by Colin Farker.
Yeah.
However I should pronounce his name.
Well, colon fine.
I guess it's related to that letter, huh?
Probably.
Yes, they're in the same group.
Can I publish that letter on the New Ensign site? And maybe I'll publish it in the editorial section and maybe make a few comments on it.
Can do.
I mean, I want the recipient's permission before I publish it, right, on the site.
Yeah. Yes, I think you can be sure you have the recipient's permission for that. Do you want her to
Well, no, I don't need it in writing. I just want to make sure, that's all. I'm going to publish that on the site under the Christigenia commentary section of the editorials, and I'm going to make some comments on that letter.
I think that's good, because a lot of people coming to the site, perhaps for the first time, may have similar questions.
That could be.
Yeah, right. That'd be good.
Yeah,
great.
And my, I really haven't done a whole lot of work on it yet, but my, the next installment of Errors Inspired by Who will contain sections from the Westminster Confession. Which positively show, and Chris, you saw this when we were going to make that little addition, right? But they positively show that even the Anglican Church leaders of the 1700s did not consider the King James Version of the Bible by itself to be an inspired word of God.
Oh, yeah.
They considered the original Greek and Hebrew to be the Atari.
Yeah. Well,
this attitude they have today is just amazing. And I also did publish the paper that you had sent me, Sussex Man, about the missing King James Version preface. And that's on the Wensang site now also.
Right.
It's under Bible study.
Oh, good.
Yes, it's a lot of people aren't aware that there was a preface that was taken out. A lot of people are aware that the Apocrypha was taken out, but I think that very few people are aware that the translator's preface was taken out as well.
Well, it's all on the New Ensign site now.
That's it.
Good.
So what else is going on in the world? Or in England, or by
area? I've been busy, Judith. No, I've been busy. I've downloaded a book by Major General Count Baradovich. I don't know if you've heard of him, Bill.
No.
No.
It's spelled Spiri, Spiridovich. If that rings a bell.
Baradovich. And evidently, from the preface, he's related to the original Tsar, the first Tsar of Russia, they were all at one another's throats, the various princedoms of Russia, and they invited the Scandinavian prince to come and rule over them, and he's a relative of them. It's amazing all the, I think a lot of things we already know, but it goes into great detail about all the machinations of what he calls the hidden hand. And he quotes a lot of verses from scripture. So I'm sure he was in fact a two seed line man, because he refers to the Satanist Rothschilds, and he's always quoting the verse, "You are of your father the devil," and he's talking about how the Rothschilds they manoeuvred to overthrow the Christian princes of Russia.
And it was written in 1826, so he was pretty much on the ball at that time.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see that from 1826. Because I hinted at it on the last program I did with Sword Brethren, what I call the Mein Kampf Project audios, right? I hinted at it that I believe that the socialists in Europe throughout the 19th century had a very comfortable refuge in London, and I believe it's because the House of Rothschild was using them to instigate everything that's happened in Europe. I think the Rothschilds were behind that all along.
Mm. Oh, yes.
And any other Jewish banking families in London.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, and he gives quite a bit of information about Disraeli as well.
Even.
Yeah.
It'll be very interesting to see that. And maybe I'll pick some highlights out of it. I have a really busy month coming up. I'm going to take a weekend and go see my son. I have to get ready for this October 10th. This October 10th program. I plan on doing two segments, I think, of the six that Eli wants, and I have a book here that I'm going to call my two segments from. I think there's probably plenty of material in this 900 book that was written in 1866 detailing the Christian foundings of America, and that's going to be the theme.
Well, that'll be interesting.
That's good.
Yes.
But that will be a run of 10 hours, or 2 times 6 hours. What was it?
Well, we did it last year on 9-9, right? And I did 3 segments. I think Eli only wants 2 out of me this year. Cut me some slack, maybe.
Yeah, it's next month. It is only within a month almost.
I have to get ready for that. I'm going to probably not do a whole lot of other writing this month. I'm going to get you the editorials and... I have that letter from the Dutch woman. I forget which one of you sent it to me, so don't scold me, but it's in the queue in my emails, and it will get done as soon as I can get it.
We have every faith in you. I'm sure it'll get done in due course.
Well, I think you had it from from a couple of sources because they wrote in to myself, and then I think they also wrote in to the editor of the Ensign.
Yeah, right. And that's so you probably got it from forwarded to me, and I'll get to it this next couple of weeks.
That'll be fine.
All right, that's good.
Bill, going back to October the 10th, are we expected to fast or not?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be honest. I don't fast. I didn't fast last year. No, nobody asked me, so I didn't answer the question. I do not fast. I don't believe in... it's my own personal opinion. I don't believe that any physical manifestations of faith are really necessary except to take care of our brethren.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Right.
I think fasting is an outward sign of piety that I would rather not participate in, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It gives
me
one a reason to brag, right? That's the way I look at it.
Right.
I know that my God lives, so I have no need to fast.
Yeah, I would say so.
Right.
That's the way I look at it. And Eli, I'm not going to knock him for it, but he likes those outward signs and stuff like that. And I don't.
Right.
I'm probably, if you observed me for a few days, you'd think I was the most impious bastard in the world.
No comment.
What about the Day of Atonement? Do you not fast then?
No. I don't fast, Dorcas. I just don't. I just, to me, the Day of Atonement, every day to me is a day for atonement.
Yeah.
The feast days are fine, and if I could be with like-minded brethren, I would love to be for every feast day, don't get me wrong. Obviously I can't be, and to me every day is a reason for atonement. Every day is a reason to celebrate the redemption and the blood of Christ and His resurrection. So to me I really have no special days, except days that my loved ones decree are special.
Yeah, but what about like the Feast of Tabernacles, which is going to be kept. When he returns, I mean...
Well, it absolutely is. As soon as he returns, I'm all for it. Yeah, if you were going to have a Feast of Tabernacles and I could make it, I would love to be there.
Mm.
Yeah, when my travel restrictions are lifted, perhaps I'll go participate in some of these feasts with some of the other communities, right?
Yes, but you don't count the other feast days in Leviticus 23 on the same... as the Feast of Tabernacles, then.
Well, there are three feast days that are important, and that's the Passover and the
Pentecost.
The Feast of First Fruits and the Feast of Tabernacles, which I count. Yeah, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, they're all within the same 15-day period. So I kind of lump them all together in my mind, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, they're all important days. I'm not going to dismiss their importance, but are they important that we fast on special days or celebrate or conduct rituals on certain days? No, I don't want to conduct any rituals. I can't do nothing to affect my own salvation, and that's the way I look at that. That's my sign of admitting that.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. How many things you want to get up and do, and I have some I got some pictures on my hard drive. I somebody sent me, and I've been tossing around posting them. Yeah. I'm not sure whether or not I want to post them. I kind of should. It's a Christian Identity congregation in Michigan. They made this whole They do it every year, and they made this whole design in the woods out of all these candles, and they get out there and they pray, and they conduct rituals amidst these candles, which are some sort of design on the ground that they have all laid out. And to me, that's a ritual. They're trying to affect their own salvation through the performance of this ritual. Oh, look, God. Look, Yahweh. See how pious I am? I do this every year.
And my
answer to them would be, get the hell out of here. Why do you do that?
Yeah.
Take that money you spent on those candles and that time that you spent doing that and go do something useful.
Yes, right. I quite agree. Mm, yeah. Absolutely.
And that's my attitude with all of that.
It's kind of pagan, too.
does. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to pagan.
But yeah, it's very often it's going to pagan, yeah. Right.
I mean, fasting does work, and I've fasted many times. It does work, but you're not supposed to go out there telling people about your fasting for so many days. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to keep it to yourself. So like prayer, same thing. You're supposed to go out there in the middle of the street and start talking about praying to everybody and everything. Do it silently. Every time.
Dropped.
Well, that's exactly right, Isaiah, and that's how I feel about
it.
And that's why I don't really participate. I mean, if somebody else wants to hold one, I'll put the pious act on, but I always pray. And I don't like to participate in public prayer because it always descends into a, hey, look at me. You know, there's always people in the room, oh, I'm going to fall on my knees, or I'm going to cry hallelujah and wave my arms around like a lunatic. There's always somebody that wants to put on a show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've never felt comfortable with public prayer, ever.
Well, right. And my answer is, go to your room and pray. That's the answer we find in the scripture.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, you find out that pagans will pray in dark places or in public places. So that's
Now, I get criticized for my attitude by a lot of people, and I tell them that they're Catholics, and they get offended with me.
Yeah.
It's too good. That's true.
Correct.
And Catholics say the
But with fasting, isn't it a form of discipline? You know, you're disciplining yourself somehow. I mean,
You know something? I discipline myself by being here every day for the people who want to talk to me, right?
Yeah.
I discipline myself by doing my writing and programs, and that's my discipline.
Absolutely. I just agree with you.
When I was in prison, I disciplined myself every day by making sure I read so much Greek and wrote so much so much on a paper, and that was my discipline, right?
The other.
We're supposed to discipline ourselves for good works, right?
It does happen.
And if you're fasting, who else are you helping? I mean, there are people that help that fast for health reasons, and that's probably good. If my fat butt was going to fast, that's probably why I should.
The other thing about atonement is if you break the word up, it's at one-ment, and we were always told you were at one with him on that day.
Supposed to be for
that
sort of thing.
Well, we have been true, though, Dorcas, ever since the resurrection, right? Every day.
Those holidays aren't meant for that. Holidays are meant to remember things.
I do understand where you're coming from.
My view of Christian practice is very practical.
In fact, we've gotten out of that. I would like to learn more about how world feasts are and how I can get involved, because I want to start getting involved in the Jews. I practice all these things. Of course, they practice Purim and all this other garbage. But I'd like to kind of take it away from them, because those are my feast days, not theirs. So I'd like to participate in them, but in the right way, not in the public display of being all this righteousness. That's my own whole thing. But fasting does work, and there have been cases where fasting will actually heal an individual. But again, you don't want to make a public...
No, it's not public. The other thing about the Day of Atonement is that it signifies the culmination of the wedding. We are not married to him again yet, and those days signify his return, and that's the culmination of the marriage. And the Feast of Tabernacles is like the honeymoon after. So it has significance in that way. To me.
Right, and that's a time of celebration. That's not a time of fasting. You're fortunate enough to have Christian brothers and sisters around that you could meet up with on a day, on the Feast of Tabernacles, and commune together and enjoy each other's company, discuss the scripture, read the scripture, whatever. Then that's great. But if you're going to get together and meet to fast and perform rituals and public prayers and I just don't see the point. Yeah, you know, because it boils down into a, hey, look at me, look at how holy I am, look at how pious I am. All this stuff's a big turnoff to me.
But
fasting
isn't for the public. It's an individual thing. We've got nothing to do with getting together, fast together. It's an individual thing. So you're supposed to let people know if you fast for half a day or entire.
To me, the perfect day of tabernacles, if you had some extra money, take it and go find a young white family that needs it and give it to them.
Yeah.
You know, or find a young single white mother with a white child. And buy the kid some shoes or something. Yeah, you know, that's the way I would. That'd be the perfect day of atonement. That'd be the perfect feast of tabernacles. Find a widow that's struggling to get along and cook her a dinner or something. Pay her light bill for her. Yeah, you know, there's all kinds of ways that we could,
Oktoberfest for Christian as a lie.
And they're the kinds of sacrifices that Yahweh really wants, right?
Yeah.
Taking care of our brethren.
Instead of taking care of the Haitians, Ethiopians.
In actual fact, she's right.
The Orientals.
But these days do bring it back into your consciousness to keep these feast days.
That's all reason. Remember God.
I'm not saying that.
Well, right, but I'm only just curious about how to keep them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, the rituals and the fasts and all that stuff can
don't agree with rituals. No, that's nonsense.
Old Testament Pharisaical stuff. That's not for me.
No, absolutely. Yeah. The other thing is, you know, in Genesis 17, you know, discussion about circumcision, if I could just bring that up now. I mean, Abraham was circumcised. Why is it now that everybody's against it? I mean, it was a health thing as well. Do you think, and someone's even gone as far as to say that it wasn't condoned in the Old Testament? That's another.
Well, it was required in the Old Testament, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
All right, and a lot of people that are anti circumcision try to go there, and they're wrong for going there. Some have even tried to insist that it's a Canaanite ritual, and they're wrong for that.
Yes.
Circumcision was a sign of the old covenant, but it was also a sign of the covenant between Yahweh and Abraham.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, Abraham was told to circumcise every male of his house. But Jacob was never told that.
No, he didn't.
You won't find that in the promises to Jacob.
Oh, no, I didn't.
All right.
That.
Now, it was given to the Israelites as a part of the Levitical law.
Yeah, I would say so.
So it became one of the Levitical rituals. It's a ritual of the flesh. We don't need any more rituals of the flesh. Yahshua Christ was the last ritual of the flesh.
Right. Yeah. I can see where you're coming from. Yeah. That was the cutoff. And now...
Yeah, that's the
cutoff.
The cutoff. Oops.
And that's why Paul says, every man getting himself circumcised. That's the way it should read. Not every man who is circumcised. The verb is every man getting himself circumcised is liable to do the whole law.
Yes.
Because when you get yourself circumcised, you're taking upon you the rituals of the law. So you better keep it all.
Yes.
And that's the point James made too. He who would keep the entire law and fails in one point is guilty of the whole law. So if you want to get yourself, sir, I mean, a little baby can't make the conscious decision, and the burden can't be placed on him, right? But if you want to say, oh, I better go get circumcised, and this is what Paul is saying, so that I can be a Christian, well, you better keep the whole law.
Yeah.
If you think that circumcision is going to save your ass, you better keep the whole law. But because in truth, none of that can save your ass. Only Yahshua Christ can save your ass.
It just shows you what misinformation has come down, and all these churches have got their own ideas. And
Well, first, a lot of those ideas come from professional priests. These men are vain and empty men. There's no depth to their knowledge. And what they have to do to replace that is they have to have rituals.
Right.
And they have to convince you that, you have to be subject to these rituals to be saved. And I don't care if it's water baptism, circumcision, fasting. I don't care. If it's a ritual, it ain't going to save me. Only Christ can save me.
Yes, absolutely.
None of this other stuff is going to do me any damn good if I don't follow Christ. And if I'm not chosen by him, we can't take him. He has chosen us.
Circumcisions of the heart, too. It's not necessarily a fleshly
thing. Well, that's
thing.
What it is, and that's a matter of prophecy.
And that's what the change was. That's what one of those things that Christ changed as death on the cross and resurrection. He didn't nullify the covenants. He nullified the sacrifice and the blood.
Yes.
It says that you don't need to be circumcised anymore. It's on the heart. So.
Well, a lot of people want to argue with me about those things, but they still haven't lost that their Judeo ideas. They still think that they're priests conducting rituals.
Well, they think that Jesus Christ changed everything, and that after his death and resurrection, somehow none of the Old Testament is viable, which isn't true at all.
The Old Testament is a book of great learning for us, and that's the only reason why it's viable.
Well, the covenant
first,
is
it sets
there.
The scope of the covenants for the New Testament. Without the Old Testament, we really can't understand the New Testament. But the entire ritual experience in the Old Testament was so that we would learn. Yet, you know, we demanded a king. We thought we could save ourselves. The entire experience is so that we would know that there ain't no way we could save ourselves, that we are nothing without Yahweh.
Yeah,
that's one reason for the holidays too. The holidays are there to be a remembrance of Yahweh, so we can keep them in our mind as opposed to just go to church. You just don't keep it. Going to church doesn't save you either. You are the church. You got to realize you are the church. We got church right here, right now. You know, but the Judeo-Christians don't believe that. They don't buy that.
No. Yes, absolutely.
Now, Papa Cat just said that Feast of October, Feast of Tabernacles is Oktoberfest for Christian Israelites, and that's not far fetched because Oktoberfest is a harvest festival, and so is the Feast of Tabernacles.
The next day is Halloween. It's up to Halloween is like the 31st, I think.
But Oktoberfest was always a harvest festival in Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you celebrate the bounty of the harvest. And that's pagan in some ways, but if you understand it properly, you'll know that it's Yahweh who gives us increase, and he makes our harvest bountiful or wanting.
The thing was that you got your harvest in, and then you were free to go off and enjoy yourself for those days.
Well, and the Feast of Tabernacles was that that release valve.
That's what your heart desired in that time.
I don't know if I would go that far, because then I'd just get myself in a whole heap of trouble.
You can have a
good time. 7-Eleven. I can do it now. I think it was a three-day celebration or something like that. I think they still actually do that even in the United States, but they call them a different name. I know they got Rendezvous and Voyager things that are like 3 days. They're going to have one in October, the first weekend of October in Indiana. It's all over the place. There's a big feast for 3 days that you can go in there and you can. And it's like they set you back at like 300 years. It's really an interesting place if you get a chance. But I think they still have it. It's based on the same concept as these holidays.
Yeah, well, the thing was, you know, the beginning of the year, you start from the equinox, and all the days count out, 14 days. And it's the same with the equinox in September. You count 10 days and it's a day of atonement. 14 days, it's the Feast of Tabernacles. It absolutely mirrors the beginning. That's when the harvest was sown, you know.
Yeah.
And the other is collecting the harvest. It's all got great meaning. Quite interesting.
Right.
But that is never brought forward now. The
well, there's only one harvest coming that I really care about.
Yes.
The rest of them.
Yeah, I think Livingston has written about it.
Easter? The Easter harvest. I don't even go to church anymore. I just don't even bother with it because I don't want to be listening to a lot of that kind of crap. And I mean, my sister even listens to Tony Price or whatever, the black minister.
Wow, what a shame.
Hold up.
Worshipping the image of the beast, eh?
Yeah, I don't know about blacks being pastors of
it's
churches.
It's an oxymoron.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't know. Yeah.
That's the image of the beast. I mean, they're worshipping.
Yeah, that's true. You know, like most. It's just amazing.
Well, they're all completely wrong. I mean, they don't keep these feast days anyway. So
we
got their own feast days that they keep.
Like, we got a church here, it's only about 10 miles from where I live, and they'll have a church service in the sanctuary, and they'll dish out drugs in the basement. Figure.
Oh?
Uh-huh.
The state hospital I used to work at, totally lunatics. I mean, they're just totally mentally deranged. And these are members of the family that were in that Christian church. The blacks, what they'll do is they'll institute their voodooism in Christianity. So it's like a Christian voodoo religion.
Well, they could never be Christians, period. They shouldn't be there. They shouldn't have any part. They shouldn't even be in our nation.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. They don't belong here. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting that...
Interesting that...
Hello.
He got a drop. Yeah.
Well, he's still here. I don't know what he did.
Yeah.
He does frequently cut out.
Yeah, he's only 17 years old. He's a gangbanger. I was the only white person in there. My goodness, you talk about almost creating a riot. The other officer I was with was Hispanic, so they kind of accepted him, sort of. Because blacks and Hispanics don't even like each other. They hate each other. But I was the only white person there, so they looked at me kind of funny.
How was some feedback from that What is the World paper I wrote last week? Was that useful?
Yes.
Yes, excellent.
It's very good.
Okay. I'd rather hear criticism or know it wasn't useful, it needed this or that, but that's okay.
What is that?
It was a paper I wrote last week and put out in a mailing. If you're not on my mailing list, I can't help it.
Okay.
Then I'll probably go to your site and read it there.
Yeah, it's on the front page.
I might be one of the people that's been on your site several times. Going to go there all the time, each day to check, see what you got.
Today I put up a video about a Mexican UCLA professor calling for Mexican Revolution and the overthrow of the United States government.
Video
asks where the prosecutors are.
Yes.
And how this isn't sufficient. If this was a white man, he'd be he'd be a huge front page news item for a week.
Well,
if this was a white college professor, he'd be in jail, and this would be a huge news item for a week. It'd be all over the media. Racist white man calls for overthrow of government.
Yeah,
but a Mexican can do it, and nobody cares.
Well, three or four years ago, there was an Hispanic from the University of Texas in Austin. He was a professor, and he said that the white race is getting old and feeble. They're dying out. We need to kill them. Kill them all. I love it. Kill them.
Yeah.
Well, right. That's that's a blatant crime, and they get away with it all the time. Yeah. It's crazy.
All the time. It's amazing. And then IMS winds up getting into trouble because he just blurts out what blacks been saying about their black women all the time. You know, he didn't say.
Well, I put that video on the front page of Christianity Today with my comments.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, it needs to be out there.
Good, good. Well, over here, last year we've got the 2009 immigration figures, and they're 20% up on the year before. That brings our known population to 62 million, and we know it's a lot more. That's only the ones that they can count legally. And if you imagine that France, with a 60 million population, is five times the geographic size of our country, you can imagine how densely populated we are. I think we're the most densely populated country in the Western world at the moment.
Do you think he's got Holland now?
Sorry?
Do you think you have Holland now? The Netherlands is pretty densely populated.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not as densely populated as here, I don't think.
That's why I was asking.
I wasn't.
No.
I think England's probably most populated.
Well, England has more people, but Holland's kind of small too.
Oh, it is.
Holland was always the most populated, most densely populated.
That's why I brought it up.
That's also. It might have changed, but there's still so many people.
Why, Holland's flooded with Muslims, too. That's disgusting.
That's why I don't like it there. It's better here. It's safe for the time being.
Well, the Muslims think that they're the biggest religion in the world, which they aren't, but they think they are.
Well, it doesn't matter. We should have never had them in any of our nations in the first place.
That's true.
But Christians are going to learn the hard way. Israel is going to learn the hard way to be a separate nation. And this is all for the glory of Yahweh, because we have a promise that he is going to take them all out of our midst.
And then it might not, and I don't think it'll be a very pretty sight either. I think the slaughter is going to begin pretty soon.
I'll be doing Ezekiel 38 and 39 soon with Eli, and we'll be discussing that at length. But 7 months, it says, we're going to bury the bodies. I've got two shovels.
Believe it or not, they do have Polish churches in Chicago. And I'm going to be able to see Eli at the Polish church at 2 o'clock on Sunday. So I want to give him a DVD that I've got that might be really kind of interesting. And try to share it with others. It might be really interesting for everybody to see. So that's going to be kind of interesting. I've been, in a way, keep in touch with Eli, because I send him a lot of stuff that get off the internet, stuff that you wouldn't normally see, well, you won't see, on our propagandized newspapers and so forth. I mean, Americans do not know what's happening. Not at all. And everything is just one big propaganda piece.
We had Tony Blair on the TV last night, his first interview in 3 years. He's kept quiet since he gave up the job of being Prime Minister. And he was absolutely saying that Iran is the next big trouble, and if need be, he would send troops into Iran. I mean, the people are quite mad. He's absolutely showing his hand, who he's in league with, and he was a man of absolutely no substance whatsoever. He spoke for an hour about nothing, and then Iran seemed to be the focal point for they would be the ones, and if they ever did made nuclear bombs.
The Iran war drum for 5 years here.
Yeah, they have.
And of course, what will happen is that half the Iranians will be over here, just like the Iraqis and the Afghans.
Yeah.
They're all here, the Somalis.
That's right. They're gonna be here. That's all. Israel plan. They want to move their stuff all the way over to Iran and take over the area, have like a mass Israel state there, which I don't think is ever going to happen.
Yeah, but we seem to pick up all the refugees and the asylum seekers.
Right.
It's so predictable.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way. Yeah. By the way, folks, when I was speaking about density of population, I've just checked, and the House of Commons Library confirmed that England has become the most crowded country in Europe, barring Malta.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Apparently, Malta is just throng because it's one of the first ports of call.
But Malta is only like a mile.
It's only a tiny, tiny little island. But of course, they all go there first before they go to the mainland.
Right, that's what it is.
It's not a big area.
No, no.
Staging
area. No, that's in terms of density.
They've changed over the last 20 years, that's clear. That England is filling up and up and up.
Oh,
and that's a real danger. Far too many people in. And they're all living on your social
vestige. Hand, Matthew, when you was curing at Gatwick.
Yeah, right. That's right. I could say so, yeah. How many nations were in there? There are so many of
everything.
Them. Color races. It's incredible.
Yeah.
That is right. Yeah. But we can see it here in Germany as well. There are so many races walking around here. But slowly on they're going to understand it is not possible to continue. They have to stop it. We better take the example of Australia, where they simply say no and no more. And if you don't like it, you get out of the country. You don't. You're trying to create a minor organization out of the country. We are having to say it here. That's right.
Well, that's
By the way, folks, the figure for England is 402 people per square kilometre. And for Holland, it's 398, so there's not much difference. And Belgium,
so
it's 355. But that's pretty high.
Yeah.
Is there anything to be said about Germany?
Yeah, 224.
And Obama put a lawsuit against Arizona, saying that it's unconstitutional. What does that mean? It's not unconstitutional. But Obama, being the communist that he is, he's not, he's not even a U.S. citizen. So.
Well, where I grew up in New Jersey, it's 452 people per square kilometer.
Yeah.
So you're not there yet.
New Jersey.
Pretty close.
Pretty close anyway. Yeah.
New Jersey is the most densely populated state in America.
Yeah, New York. Or New Jersey.
Oh, no, New Jersey by far. New York's only 157 people per square kilometer. And without the city, it would be half of that, right? I mean, the city's more densely populated than New Jersey, but that's only one city. That's they want to be a city. They have to suffer the statistics, right?
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
So we are in Germany about the half of the population, the density. That's quite well. I don't mind. Let's keep it in that way.
Well, I remember New Jersey well, Judith, so that's pretty crowded for an entire nation.
Mm-hmm.
You'll all have to flee to Scotland.
Now, Scotland's only got 69.
Not much to say about Scotland. They're just
69. That's pretty good, isn't it?
The land's a lot more rugged. There's a lot more mountains and crags that are really uninhabitable.
when I was in Iceland, they got sheep roaming all over the place. If you kill one sheep, you had to pay for that sheep plus the two sheep that sheep would have had, plus the two sheep that each of those sheep would have had. So you pay up to $1,000 for killing one sheep. So it's and everybody in Iceland uses a credit card.
Well, that's pretty biblical.
Yeah.
That's pretty biblical, a punishment.
Yeah. That thought was kind of amazing, though.
Is it five? You have to give back five for one?
I think it's four, at least, if you steal one. So, it is a high figure.
Yeah, that's multiplied. That's
funny. I mean, if you accidentally kill one, then the damage is a lot less, right? It's only one and a quarter or something.
Yeah, but the speed limit in Iceland is 40.
Three for one. That's right.
Yeah.
You see.
Well, actually, more than that because they figure that each sheep will have two young. So you pay for the two sheep that the one that you killed would have had, plus the two sheep each one of those would have had. So you're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 6 or 7 sheep you'd be paying for, roughly. So that's kind of high, but the speed limit in Iceland is only 45 miles per hour around the entire country.
2 years.
I know it's a fifth in the Old Testament about something. You have fivefold year.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's not with animals.
Mm. And in Iceland, they've got mortgages from 40 up to 80 years.
Well, here we go. It's Exodus 22:1. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and kills it or sells it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox. Yeah. And four sheep.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. And I don't know why oxen are that much more valuable than sheep, but
another thing that's kind of interesting is Icelandic is the only language that's been around the same in the last 1500 to 2000 years. It's never changed in 2000 years. I think that's interesting. Never changed. Every other language has changed, but not Icelandic. That might be a good thing.
That's probably because they didn't have any invasions like...
They were very isolated for a long time.
Yeah.
They're
very, very
isolated. So.
Who the hell would want to live there?
You only.
The stuff that comes out of the ground, the heat, the water and so forth, and that's how you heat it.
Cheap heating.
Now, Bill, I think you'd agree, if we give the Somalis and the Pakistanis enough time, they'll follow us to Greenland, they'll follow us to the Falklands Islands. If we started a civilization in the South Pole, they'd follow us there.
Yeah, they'd
follow
the moon,
right,
Mars.
It's our own stupidity that lets them do that, right?
Yeah.
That's absolutely
get out.
True. If the only white colony in the world were on the South Pole, you'd see all the Negroes and Chinamen beating their way into it. But that's proof of who we are in Scripture. The kingdom of heaven, what was a the smallest of all trees and grew into a giant tree, and the birds and every fowl came and nested in its branches, right?
Hmm. Yes. Right. The mustard seed.
Yeah.
The
mustard. Yeah.
And the fact that we don't have a colony in the South Pole or the Falklands, I think that's just evidence of the fact that there's a war being waged against us and they want to exterminate us. Since if the British really wanted a multicultural, diverse society free of racism, instead of trying to purge and brainwash all the conservatives and racists, they'd say, here's $1 billion, take the Falklands and go make it your homeland and leave Britain alone, because Britain's going to become a socialist country and we don't want you and we don't need you. And then, 100,000 people or so would exodus from Britain and they'd go to the Falklands and set up a racial state, but the Jews don't want us to have a racial state.
Well, that's the point, that it's a war against the white race. However, most white people are on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Which is really incredible.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like France and Germany going to war and most of the French fighting for Germany.
Although, most of the French are Germans, aren't they? They're Franks.
Well, there are a lot of French in America that fought for Hitler. A lot of the SS troops and so forth. There are a lot of Jews in Italy.
Evidently not enough.
Yeah.
But during the war, a lot of French, they didn't fight on our side. Pétain, wasn't it, in France? They weren't with us. We rescued them to a degree.
The French had the 11th SS Volunteer Panzer Grenadier Division Nordland and the 33rd Waffen Grenadier Division Charlemagne. So they sent a lot of people into the Waffen SS, and I think the Germans recruited 500,000 volunteers for the army and the SS from France and from Belgium and the Netherlands. They had a lot of volunteers.
Well, there were black. There were black soldiers in Hitler's SS too.
There were some Albanians.
In the end, they had to, because there was nobody left over, and they had to take from lower classes.
Yeah, they had to go
against the rules.
They had to go to the jungle, that's right.
Yeah.
They were told they'd get freedom for India as soon as Germany conquered Britain. Germany would free India from the British, and they all joined, you know, the SS because they thought it'd be a great thing to do.
Really? Yeah. Wow, that's interesting.
And if you look at what the British and the Americans did to France after the war, as soon as the war is over, America basically told France it's time to quit your colonial empire, get out of Algeria, get out of Morocco, get out of Tunisia, abandon all your people, get out of Southeast Asia. America basically sold France out as soon as the war was over.
Really? We don't hear any of that history.
Well, of course, just like Britain was sold out and gave up her whole colonial empire after the war was over.
And ostensibly, the war was fought to save Poland, but when the war's over, they just hand Poland over to Stalin, and they tell the Polish, well, we don't need you anymore. You served as a good pretext for starting the war, and now you can be communist for the next 8 decades.
Well, there's all this glaring, these glaring refutals of their own statements that are so vivid in recent history, and people still don't want to see that it's a Jewish war against Christianity, and everything their government tells them is written by some rabbi in some back room somewhere or some banking rabbi, it's entirely manipulated, and we keep falling for it. We keep going to vote for the George Bush or the Sarah Palin, we keep our involvement in the system, even though we're told to get the hell out of it, that it's corrupt. We keep taking out the bank loans and buying the garbage on television and in Hollywood.
Do you know, and they've got the young people. When my daughter was here on holiday last week and her friend from Austria, we went to Cambridge. And those young people there, I'm sure that they've been utterly brainwashed because it was very mixed races all around. And it just struck me, A, that they've been Europeanized in the set out. They've all got these squares now where they all have their coffee and that. And I just felt that they've been treated like the Pied Piper of Hamelin. He's paid his tune and they're all jogging along after him. And I'm sure they see nothing wrong in what's transpiring. They all like the same music all over Europe. They're all into the same things that they're interested in, the clothes and all rubbish. And I feel that they've actually, they're not worried about the old generation now. It's the youth that they're now, you know, if you say anything to a youth, they wouldn't know what you were talking about. And they don't know much about their history or anything.
Right.
So,
white people aren't supposed to know about their history. White people aren't supposed to know about their history. Blacks and Hispanics and Asians can, but not white people.
In most of the history, blacks are taught, they're taught that they were us, that all our achievements were actually done by their people. So it's not really black history, it's stolen white history. Telling the blacks that you were Egypt, Greece, and Rome. They weren't either of the three.
Yeah.
Well, they never invented a sail, did they?
They were in power in Egypt for like 50 years, and that's it. But they tore down a lot of the proof that the whites of them had British hair. So you can't tear it all down, but they're trying to.
Well, Negroes are dumb enough to believe it, and sadly, most whites. And they do believe it.
It's unfortunate.
Well, virtually every time you see a photograph or some sort of picture in the press or the media with...
But just like Einstein stole all his E equals MC square, he stole everything.
Well, you always see just like at George Washington Carver,
there's all his inventions.
Slow down, Isaiah.
I'm sorry.
You're stepping all over Judith.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was saying that every time you open a magazine or a newspaper or see anything on television that's supposed to represent the British public, it's always 50% coloured, or even more, if there are four people in the picture, you'll have one white and the rest will be, you know, all sorts of things.
And it's usually a white woman, some black is cozying up to her.
Yes.
Yeah, all
and
the
it's
time.
That way around. And in reality,
I've seen white men with black women in Chicago.
Have you noticed, Judith, that but it's sort of becoming quite obvious now that they're promoting the black over the white? It's really becoming obvious.
So. There have been two instances recently where...
And Ebert, is where the black woman...
Isaiah, I don't think you're listening. There's a conversation going on, and you're just talking all over it. Please.
You're cutting out. Something's cutting out.
You're cutting out.
Now, I went to London in 2004, and I thought it was basically a slum. It was one of the worst cities I've ever been in, and I've been in Cleveland, East St. Louis, Chicago. I think I've been near Detroit. But, you know, I've never been more afraid for my life than when I was in London. Just all the Muslims looked at me like they wanted to cut my throat, and they gave me that look like they would if the police just didn't happen to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, the police would probably help them.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot worse now.
Yeah.
I think most of the white people are leaving London when I moved to the South Coast about 6 years ago. And I haven't regretted it. Mind you, they're starting to infiltrate down here a bit.
I mean, when I first got off the plane at Heathrow, I said to my mom, are you sure we landed in London? We might have, you know, I think we took a wrong turn. We're in Karachi here.
We do call it Londistan.
We were the only white people at immigration, and there were signs posted that said in multiple languages, including English, assaulting our staff will not get you processed quicker, and please do not assault the staff.
Assault the staff.
And literally, we were the only white people there. There were just 500-600 brown people standing around, the women all covered up, and... My mom said that she could smell a bunch of them from, you know, 20, 30 feet away, because she said that they smelled like they hadn't bathed in weeks.
Well, yeah, I used to stand guard with workers as well in Saudi Arabia, and they don't smell too good. They smell like onions and God knows what else.
They don't bathe. They don't have any sense of hygiene.
Well, they use their hand for toilet paper, so maybe what do you want?
Yeah, never taken out of a Muslim's left hand.
Well, that's what they wipe their buttocks with.
They never shake hands. Because they use their right hand to wipe themselves. That's how come they got the belays in the bathrooms and so forth.
Wow.
One thing I noticed too.
It's a
butt washer. All the women walk 20 to 30 feet behind the men everywhere they go. Except I read about in Burma. In Burma, despite it being an Islamic country, the men have the women walk in front of them. And some reporter once asked one of the men, if you're a Muslim, how come your wife walks in front of you? And the men in Burma explained that there's a lot of unexploded landmines still around in Burma, so that's why the women walk in front.
Oh. That's good.
Yeah.
But when I was in Saudi Arabia, I never saw the women walking behind the men. They actually walked with them. And, of course, you couldn't even look at them. And we had some women, Saudis, because Saudis are the only ones that need to, Saudis only need to cover themselves up with a burqa. Other Islamic women don't have to. It's just an option for them. Because Saudis are your true Muslims.
Well, they're the Wahhabists, aren't they, in Saudi Arabia? They believe in Wahhabism.
Well, yeah, Muhammad. And Uncle Muhammad, I was told it was amazing, too. I don't know who that is. But,
Whoa. How could Muhammad possibly be amazing?
That's a good question. Well, Mason's been a long time.
Yeah, about the 13th century.
It's way back with masonry.
And 13th century.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But they used to have it... So that's when
all those stories give the
Mason
much
we
more
know
credit
it.
Than they deserve. What Muhammad was he was a Jew. That's what he was.
Yeah, he was. He was a Jew.
And all the people that wrote that Quran were Jews. It's a Jewish book. It's the Talmud for dummies. It's the Talmud for the half-breed goyim that could never get into Christianity or Judaism.
Yeah.
So it's the Talmud for the masses that the Jews don't want to sit in the same synagogue with.
Yeah.
So they made a religion for them in order to control them.
So it's Judaism for brown camel jockeys.
Basically.
Yeah.
I've read enough of the Quran to know that it's a pretty disgusting book.
It is disgusting. And in Saudi Arabia, I saw a beautiful gold leaf Quran that's like a thousand years old. It was beautiful. But it's very, very disgusting. So,
yeah, you know, all these idiot Christians say, oh, but the Talmud, the Quran, the Muslims accept Jesus as a prophet. Well, yeah, right. But if you ever actually read it, you'll see hundreds of passages of contrived dialogue supposedly between Christ and the apostles, and it's very parochial, almost to the point of being ridiculous, and the apostles attesting that they're good Muslims and Christ agreeing with them and giving them instruction on Islam.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing they teach in the end times, they teach that the Mahdi, the one who is to come, will return, the prophet Jesus will return, and that Jesus will denounce himself, and then he'll apologize for misleading anybody into believing he was the Son of God, and then they'll bring about the end of the world together, as Jesus tells all the Christians that he wasn't the Son of God, and that he's not God in the flesh, and that they were mistaken, and he's sorry if he led them into that mistake.
Oh, wow.
Well, the Quran is straight trash. I wouldn't even burn it and inhale the fumes.
Well, you probably hear screams coming out of it if you burned it. All these demonic spirits coming out of it. So like the Book of Mormon. Because I guess even the Joseph Smith might have been he might have been a Mason and had some Jewish leanings too. So.
Well, he was into the occult before he invented Mormonism.
That's true. I read a thing about it.
I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't buy his first Book of Mormon from some Jew in a back alley in New York.
Well, he and his entire family were treasure hunters. They used to dig so many holes, deep holes in Palmyra, New York, that people would fall in them. And so they were kicked out of New York. So he was a treasure hunter.
I thought he found something buried, didn't he?
Well, he said he did. He said he found something buried, but nobody ever saw it.
There's absolutely no documentary evidence that he actually found anything original.
No.
None whatsoever. There were no golden tablets. There's no translation given by angels. I've perused parts of the Book of Mormon, and that is just as bad as the Quran.
Yeah, it's not worse.
It's straight garbage.
Yeah.
He said that the angel Moroni buried some golden tablets near Utica, New York, and that they were delivered to somebody. I forget who his name was, but he was a white man. Was it Nephi? Who was the last of
Nephi.
The white people in North America, and he buried the tablets there before the Lamanites, the American Indians, who he claimed were Israelites, could kill him.
Well, the angel's name says it all, Moroni.
Yeah, Moroni.
You got to be a moron to believe that stuff.
And you well, that, that was a tongue-in-cheek jab at his own followers, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, the Book of Mormon actually talks about millions and millions of people being slaughtered in the United States. There was one battle where a million men on both sides died, and there was only two left. And one took his sword and cut the other's head off, and then the guy hit the ground. He came up on his elbows, gasped for breath, and then died.
Well, my assessment of the Book of Mormon was that it was outtakes from some of the biblical prophets mixed in with some sick Jew fantasy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was my impression of it.
That's true, because the Jews are fantasy. Well, the Jews' own doctors say that they're mentally ill. They even say so.
Well, it's not for nothing that Joseph Smith was a master mason.
Yeah. I think, wasn't he a 32nd degree or something like that?
Yeah, he was the highest degree. He was a master mason, and most of his killers were master masons as well. It was an internal feud within the lodge, and he was taken in. Yeah.
He sure was. I bet the area was taken on Carthage, Illinois. I went to the jail.
Well, my great-great-grandfather's aunt ran off with the Mormons in the 1870s.
Uh-oh. Did she come back?
No. She. There's still Mormons today. They're descendants. They're in Salt Lake City. They're in Utah.
I've been to Salt Lake City. It's kind of interesting. You can always tell who the Mormons are and who the non-Mormons are. What the world is that feedback? Is that me?
I don't know. I didn't see who's causing it. Sword brother.
Oh, I think that was me.
Yeah, you're a little too sensitive.
But I went to Salt Lake City because I trained with the 19th Special Forces Group there, and I went to Salt Lake City, and I said, wow, what a dump. They said, well, those are the people that are non-Mormons. The Mormons are the ones that live in the mansions, and like 90% of the people in Salt Lake City are non-Mormons. And then we went by the big white temple, and they got a wall around the temple, and they got guards with Uzis patrolling the temple. That's kind of interesting.
How they can be in Las Vegas, that's a mystery to me, you know.
Well, they're in Salt Lake City.
They're in Utah. There are some in Nevada, but I don't know of a whole lot.
Well, they started out in Missouri, and they got ran out.
Yeah. Well, they started out in Illinois.
Yeah, they started
out in New York, Illinois, and then... Now, but I've been to Nauvoo, too.
One town they got tossed from here. They're real big in Ohio.
Yeah.
I thought they owned a lot of property in Las Vegas.
They might. You never know. But they, well, they, the one good thing is they store up food and so forth. Because they're expecting the time to come near.
You have to store up food when you have 18 wives.
Yeah. Well, they're not supposed to have it anymore. Okay. The federal government actually outlawed that. But I think in like 1890 or something.
They had a new vision.
But the federal government is not supposed to make any laws respecting religion.
I know they're not supposed to.
Every time the government tells the Mormon church you have to do something, their prophet has a new vision, and it brings them into accordance with what the government wants. They had a new vision in the 70s about letting blacks in and conferring the priesthood on the Negro.
Well, yeah, Joseph Smith, back in the 1830s, actually confirmed the black man as a leader in the Mormon church. Of course, that was hidden. Don't ever do that. That was hidden. But now you got black Mormons in there, yeah. Sure. It's
a few years ago, a man in England had converted to Mormonism, and he asked me to be his second wife. I've just remembered that. So I sort of made a quick retreat.
Just ran for your life, huh? Ran for the hills. But well, it's just that most Mormons don't have, well, I should say they don't have more than one wife, but they're not supposed to have more than one wife, technically, but I know secretly they will. But there is a branch that actually will have more than one wife. They just forget about the law altogether.
Yeah,
forget about the fact.
You're married. He says, oh, I'm a Mormon. I can have another wife.
Well, look at the Mexicans. They have one wife. They got, two or three mistresses? They all go to the same parties and social events together.
Not to mention with Mexicans, it's very common for some, 14-year-old niece to be deflowered by her 40-year-old uncle. That's how the Mexicans play.
Well, as far as I see, the Cubans and Puerto Ricans and Dominicans do that, too.
Yeah, they do. There's one instance that occurred a couple of years ago that they think is kind of interesting. In South Africa, they see the blacks in these African countries, they steal girls, kidnap them from 10 to 14 years old, rape them, and force them to marry them. And this one incident, there were blacks are grabbing a girl and trying to pull her into a car. And she was screaming and yelling. And three she-lions came out of the forest and attacked the blacks. One of the she-lions pulled the girl to safety, sat with her, while the others mauled the blacks until the blacks ran away. And when the police showed up at the area, as they were called, they saw the girl sitting on the side of the road with a she-lion on her right, sitting on her right side, one on her left side, one behind her. The police got out of the car, and they were white. They walked up to the girl, the she-lions got up and went right back into the jungle. It is said that if the officers were black, they probably would have mauled the officers. But that really happened about 4 or 5 years ago. I thought that was really interesting.
Animals can tell a lot about people, wouldn't you say, Bill?
Yeah, I think they can.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That they don't like the way Negroes smell.
Yeah.
They said there was this dog
in
Pennsylvania.
Dogs don't like the way Negroes smell.
They said there was a police dog in Pennsylvania that they would let it out of the vehicle, and it ran away from the white suspect, ran up to a black man and started mauling him. And I think it turned out that the black man had drugs on him or something, but they said that every time they would let the dog out, it was friendly with white people, and it would just jump on blacks and start attacking them. Well, it's a police dog. It knows who the criminals are.
Well, right. I was going to say, it knows who the culprit is.
Obviously, the dog hasn't been through sensitivity training.
Yeah, the Maasai Mara used to take us back to this little camp, because when it gets dark there, it's black.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They reckon that the lions don't go for the Maasai Mara. I don't know whether they painted something on them, but as you're saying about the black men, maybe that's the reason. So that was interesting, that we always were accompanied by them because of the lions. I would have died, actually, on the spot if I thought a lion was nearby. But
well, when I was in Saudi Arabia, I was patrolling the patch site with my little M16, and you know, 130-degree heat, and I befriended, would you believe, a desert fox and Gila monster. I'm like, what's this? This makes no sense. And so I'd be walking along, here's a desert fox walking along with me, a Gila monster walking along with me. I'm thinking, why don't they maul me? Or is a Gila fox, either a Gila monster go after the fox. They kept on, I figured they probably just as lonely as I was, I don't know.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, it makes no sense. But animals do know a lot of who they can't. Well, for one thing, in African countries, animals are eaten for dinner or for religious sacrifices and so forth, and they know it. That's like if you're going to get a dog or a cat, get a European dog and a cat, because Europeans don't go out to eat their cats and dogs. Where in Asia and in Africa, they do, and the dogs and cats know it. And if they were to get out of the leash, they'd be running for the hills, boy.
Really?
Yeah, they'd be gone.
My grandfather told me he was walking through a village in Korea, I think in 51 or 52, his unit, and they saw a little dog. He said the village was basically a ghost town, and all of a sudden a little dog ran across the dirt road, and out of nowhere, people just emerged. They jumped out of their huts. They jumped out from behind trees. They set upon the dog, and he said they started ripping it limb from limb while it was still alive and devouring it.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. And you see, you shouldn't be eating dogs and cats because they're meat eaters. See, that's the Bible condemns eating them because they're meat eaters. And that's how come dog and cat feces are not good for the ground, for the environment.
Coming.
Now we know who it is now. Dogs and cats, animals rather, have a sense of fear, and they can tell when you're frightened, when you're afraid of them, as opposed to if you're just calmly sitting next to them. The Dobermans and the German Shepherds that are trained attack dogs, you know, they can smell it in your, they smell your palm of your hand, and they can smell the fear coming out of you because it's like an acid sort of a smell. And they can sense that. And if you don't have that on your hand, you'll do fairly well. But if you're frightened of them, they sense it. And then they fear because you fear. And then they attack the fear that they're afraid of.
Well, from my experience, Negroes are highly afraid of animals.
Okay.
They hear dogs immediately, strange dogs.
For some reason, they're afraid of dogs, you know, getting mauled by them, but they're also superstitious about cats. They think, dang, that cat going to suffocate that baby.
Oh, I better experience you with cats. I like them.
They're pretty smart, these cats. They got us to do all the work for them.
Yeah, we're always...
They say, though, that just the presence of a cat in a structure, like a warehouse or a home, that mice and other rodents will smell that cat, and they won't even try and enter the building.
Well, that'd be an awfully hungry cat after a while.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, because we got cats here, and you can see the mice scurrying around between the walls, man.
Hmm. Now, we have a mouse here, but my cats took care of it, so I guess not all mice know to obey that rule, but most mice just stay out of buildings.
Yeah. Well, you got to get a cat between the walls to get the mice.
Yes, that's true, you do.
You get a skinny cat, you get a real fat cat that's good at it, you can't get between the walls.
My cat weighed 23 pounds.
Yeah. I was like 14 or 15 pounds. But, we got a cat. I think we think it's from Thailand. Another one is a Siberian cat, which is pretty decent. But what they'll do is get the whole mouse and play with it. They'll bat it around.
Mm-hmm. And if the cat was big enough, it would get a hold of you and play with you.
Probably would, yeah.
They're pretty cruel animals, cats.
Sorry, brethren's cat. Well, all our cats would go, meow, meow. But Sword Brethren's at 23 pounds goes, meow, meow.
Oh, no, he was very vocal. He'd meow all night long. You know, anyone goes upstairs to go to bed for 20 minutes, he'll just go, meow, meow, meow. I guess that's his way of telling you good night. And that would go on for 20 minutes. He was almost about 2.5 feet long, though, from tail to nose.
Good Lord.
Bigger one.
I like cats. The cats walk around like the lions, which is great.
We could do more of that ourselves if we did as a race.
Yeah, we had the courage and the gumption to do it.
Yeah, I was watching some Negro walk around town here. There are not very many of them, but since it's a university town, they get these guys on their sports teams, you know, and they hire them by scholarship to go out there and play. And
that's what they are, is hired, too.
Yeah, and the guy's walking down the sidewalk, and he does the diddy bop. You know what a diddy bop is? You know where they throw the shoulders to the left and to the right, to the left and to the right, and they're walking down the street. So
they're all arrogant.
Yeah, they walk like peacocks. Look at me. I wrestle my feathers.
Like peacocks. Yeah.
I ain't got rights.
Yeah. Yeah, really. And we
have making all this more money. Lives.
Yeah, our money.
Well, it's not your money if you don't give it to Coke and Pepsi and all the clowns that support these dirtbags.
Yeah, I know. Well,
if they don't get it from them, they'll get it from the federal government. They'll take it out of our taxes. Or at least we think they take it out of our taxes.
What we do that we don't have to do that hurts us the most.
Yeah.
Well, Harvard is known to accept applicants that get 600 to 1,000 on the entrance exams. And reject those, get up to 1,400 on the entrance exams. And who gets a higher score? Whites. So 70% of your Harvard students are black or Hispanic or something.
Well, I know 30% of Harvard students are Jewish, and over 30% of the faculty is.
I thought it was 50% in Harvard. And I heard 50% of all law students are Jews, and a good number are queers.
By now it might be 50%, but I mean, I actually read in the Wall Street Journal back 5-6 years ago that 30% of the student body at Harvard was Jews.
Yeah, something came through in an email to me recently that said the same thing. I'd have to go fish around for it, but said the same thing.
And the Puritan founders of Harvard College or Bible College are sitting in their graves, right?
Yeah. All the founding fathers would scorn us if they looked at what's going on here.
That's right.
Well, they should have made the race thing a little more explicit in the Constitution, don't you think?
I don't imagine they figured people would get as dumb as we got.
Well, the motto in Harvard.
I'm going to point that out on this 1010 show. I can't wait. I got some quotes from Ben Franklin that most people would be shocked at.
What now the Jesus Christ really quotes, they say that's all a forgery. They say those quotes are a hoax, a fake, a fraud, a forgery. The same thing they say about the protocols.
Yeah.
Well, right, but the quotes I got are right from the biography of Benjamin Franklin from Carl Van Doren, written in 1936. I got a copy of it on the shelf behind me.
Yeah. There was one quote about his saying, like about the Jews, and how they take over. Some people think it was in the records of the convention, but it turns out to be...
Right, I'm familiar with the quotes, but they're not in that biography.
Yeah.
Well, these are in that supposedly in the notes of one of the delegates to the Constitutional Convention. That was in, and then the people that have possession of those notes now say, oh no, it's not in there. It's not in there. But it came from those notes. I can't remember the name of the guy, but he signed the Constitution among others.
Well, Franklin did say a few things in his biography about Jews that weren't really flattering, but they really weren't damning of the entire race either, right?
Well, as it's been handed down to us, yes.
Well, right. I'm talking about stuff that's actually in there, right?
Well, I've got a lot of autobiographies of Franklin. Each editor takes out and puts in things that he thinks is proper, you know. So it depends on which editor has gone through it. There's no guarantee that someone's going to properly represent the even the writings of Ben Franklin.
Well, I imagine 30 years from now they'll say that Ben Franklin was a black Jew, bisexual, and he had children with a negress, and he talked about how great diversity and tolerance were. And they'll come up with a Declaration of Independence where it talks about how the British are oppressing the workers, the peasants, and the proletariats, and we need to rise up and abolish private property in the church. And they'll put that in the Declaration of Independence.
You write history, you can do that.
Constitutional Convention, and one member is a black man in the Constitutional Convention. He's sitting there, you can see him. Because they didn't have any black people.
Well, I think that was a servant of one of the guys.
But they say that George Washington was doing drugs because they found an island where they had a whole bunch of marijuana in it, because he was using it for rope. He had a lot of hemp on it. But they're now accusing George Washington of being a junkie, a drug addict. So. And your Jews are your biggest drug addicts, the biggest homosexuals, the biggest in pornography. That's where they make their money. I mean, they're the ones even. But Jews are the first slave masters. And like Frederick Douglass would talk about how he ran away from a plantation because of the beatings and how terribly he was treated. But he never mentioned that plantation was Maryland, owned by a black family. So his own race is beating him up, not whites.
I've heard about that. I'll ask Gerald about that when I get a chance.
Yeah.
One thing about this country, we had a hierarchical rule. You know, the gentry used to rule, and they used to employ people. Then they were all given titles and so on. So there was a sort of hierarchy, and everybody knew their place in society. So whether that is a good thing or it certainly created a more stable society, because they used to hire people to look after their estates and their farms, and everybody sort of had the employment that way. I don't know what you feel about that set up, but that isn't so today. And there are even the House of Lords there, giving people titles willy-nilly, so they'll get them all that's going to vote for them. They've got them in the Lords now, not by hereditary, but by their choosing.
The Jews infiltrated the House of Lords 150 years ago.
Yeah.
I'd really like to find that book or that article by that one British peer who was talking about how most of the British peers, his contemporaries at the time, were starting to look Asiatic, or they were married to Jewesses, and he was raising the alarm saying that the Jews were taking over the House of Lords.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Two major Jews have just been given lordships.
Well, they had taken over the House of Lords, and that's why it looks like it is today.
Over. Do you know the book I'm talking about?
No, I don't know the book you're talking about. I
think that's mentioned in the book I'm formatting now, Count Sparadovich. He talks about the infiltration of the British aristocracy.
Right, and where they couldn't get the seats directly, they waited a generation or two or three or as long as they could to marry into that family, or to get that family to take one of their daughters on or whatever.
A lot of it happened along the lines of nobles that basically spent themselves in the ruin. The Jews extended them credit, and then they could never make good on it. So they would say, "Oy vey, I wipe out your debt, but your son should marry my daughter."
Well, the Jews gained control.
Mm-hmm.
In come the Muslims and the Negroes. And if they don't do it by war, like they did in Spain in the 7th century, they'll do it. They'll take their time and do it by peace, like they did in England for the last 300 years. And it's the inevitable sign that the Jews are in control is when you see the place start to fill up with Muslims and Negroes.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's what's happened. I mean, they're creating, giving these people titles just to get them in.
The one that really made me sick when I saw that negress that was the Baroness of Scotland, I just wanted to puke.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was the worst thing I ever saw in my life, I think. That's it. It's over with.
Imagine.
Yahweh, come save us.
What was that?
Yes, but what was worse was that she took upon herself that title, Baroness of Scotland.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't take a local town, which people often do, like Baroness of Scotland. I mean, that was certainly manipulated.
Probably me.
Absolutely manipulated.
Yeah.
All right, here's I think I found that it's from the book Tales of the British Aristocracy, The Anglo-Jewish Peerage by L.G. Pine. Said the Jews have made themselves so closely connected with the British peerage that the two classes are unlikely to suffer loss, which is not mutual.
We can't get ourselves out of this mess now.
No, of course not.
No.
It's an over. Yeah,
just get away from them. Hide yourself. Run.
And as long as we think we can get ourselves out of this mess, it'll continue to get worse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why all these Tea Party freaks, they're not doing us any favors.
No.
And anybody with a political solution, they're not doing us any favors.
No, it's not going to do any good.
Certainly, yeah.
Now you can just go by God's word and just separate yourself.
Well, if voting changed anything, the Jews would outlaw it in an instant.
Yeah, they would.
And in fact, that's what I told the Republican Party when they called and told me that I need to get out in November and vote. And I just said if voting changed anything, the Jews would outlaw it, and then I hung up.
Yeah. It makes no difference who you vote for. The Jews are both sides, Republican and Democrat. It makes no difference.
Well, right. The Republicans had full control of Congress, the Senate, and the presidency for 2 years and didn't do one damn thing, didn't lift one finger to undo anything, any of the progressive laws that were passed for 10 years before that.
Yeah.
And if they had full control of Congress this next coming session, the same thing will happen. They won't lift one finger to change anything back. They might address the inheritance tax, and everybody will be happy and satiated for another 4 years, and everybody will forget about all this other stuff Obama's done to us and this progressive communist Congress. It'll all be forgotten. And we'll have to live with it. The progressive platform is never unwound, no matter who gets it. And that's because that's the platform. That's the platform of the Sadducees that the Jew wants the most, that the Jew wants to push the most. That's his design.
I had sent in a letter to the editor over here at this newspaper, and I talked about, it says, just look at this. The Democrats talk in one direction, and they look in that direction, and they point in that direction. The Republicans talk in another direction, and they look in that other direction, and they point in that other direction. But these two always end up being the same in what they do.
It's the same thing in Britain with the Tory and the Labour parties.
Yeah, anywhere.
And I said, that's because they are Siamese twins. And just when was the last time you ever saw Siamese twins walk in two different directions? It simply doesn't happen. They're attached to each other forever. And I put that, and they published that in a newspaper. That's true. They are Siamese twins. They no matter what they say or do, they always walk in the same direction.
Yeah.
So why have a Republican and a Democratic Party? They're all the same. What's the difference?
It's the same. Nothing changes.
No. Well, it did in this country.
Yeah.
interest is. Follow the money.
That's the money.
Well, well, it all keeps the population satisfied.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no. Throw bread at them. More welfare or
beer parties.
Taxes. Yeah, yeah.
Really. Taverns.
Sports. Yeah.
Yeah, I went to
the Maximus.
I went to one town years ago. They had like 10 taverns in the entire town. I think only like 300 people in the entire town. They had 10 taverns, though. So,
they
get them drunk and get stupid.
In one of the Bush elections, the second one, they proved that there was a town of about 3,500, something like that, and 7,000 or 8,000 people voted there.
Sure, there was a town in Ohio with about 11,000 people all together, and that's counting minors and obviously people that are not going to vote or just can't get out to vote, and they had 17,000 votes.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Yeah, it was total vote fraud. I mean, complete. Over here where I live, 97, up until just recently, when I got really pissed at some of the council members, 95% to 97% of the people that are registered to vote do not vote. Which means only 3% vote, and then of those 3%, 1.75% rule essentially by the vote anyway. That's how disgusted people are locally with government. They're just
with the electronic voting machines that you've got, it's much easier to fiddle the results.
Wonder how many cartoon characters voted for him. Yeah, David Duck actually donated $5 to the Obama campaign.
Well, the shame is that most Americans don't vote in local elections, and local elections are the ones that count.
They don't.
They're the only ones that count. But most Americans don't vote in them at all. And that the little political class from every local town basically controls the entire political process because of that.
One thing I was
when it comes to time to send delegates to conventions, when it comes time to choose nominees for offices, the little 3% that Muniker is talking about, they're the ones that do all that. They control the entire political process because most people don't participate in local politics at all. Most Americans only vote for presidential elections.
Yeah.
And ignore everything else. And it's everything else that is the stuff that matters. All politics is local. What was a statement that one politician in the early part of the 20th century popularized here. I forget who exactly it was. But all politics is local, and that's the only politics that counts is what's happening in your immediate community. And the decisions made there are the ones that matter at the state level and at the national level eventually. And these are the elections that our people don't show up for. So what you have... Because, and I observed this when I was working in county government 25 years ago, what you have is you have the people that work for the local government that are basically a parasitical class, that they're not really producing anything of value on their own, but they're controlling the political process because those people vote in every local election because it matters, it has a direct impact on their paychecks.
Oh, how interesting.
So you have the teachers and the city workers and the town and county workers or whatever the equivalents are in Britain. Those people, they don't miss local elections. And the average person that works and pays his taxes every day, he doesn't vote in local elections. He only votes every 4 years in a presidential election. And then he has no say and wonders why. And don't think that you doesn't have all this figured out. And the Jews are very involved in local politics.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And most whites aren't.
You're very naive.
I would go when I was young, and it's way too late for us to turn this around and have any political solution. Don't get me wrong. And I'm sure that's the way that our God has planned it for us. But when I was young and naive, and I was a conservative Republican, and voted for Reagan twice and the whole deal. I noticed then that when I went to the fire station to vote in a gubernatorial race or in a local mayoral race or a county race, that it was empty. I mean, you'd walk right in, you'd cast your vote, and you'd leave, and you'd be gone in 2 minutes. And when you went on presidential election day, you waited in line for an hour.
Yeah.
Well, all the elections should have been like that. And people complain that they don't get to pick their candidates. Well, those candidates are picked in back rooms in state and county party offices.
Yeah.
And the people that inhabit those state and county party offices are the people that are chosen in those little elections that nobody shows up at.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Yeah, that's clear.
Yeah. Bill, additionally, with these small elections, a lot of these people, they just wait till the end of the day. They see who doesn't show up, and they vote 500-600 people and mark them off as having voted. That's why in all the white rural districts, especially in the national elections, you would think if you're out in the middle of nowhere, it would take hours extra to get the results. And the white rural districts always post first, followed usually by the white suburbs. The inner city black districts, they take 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours after closing to post
results. Well, right, they're always last, right.
They wait, they say, they see who didn't show up but who was registered to vote, and they vote for all those people.
Yeah.
So, you know, they may close the doors at 7 or 8. They see, oh, 20,000 people didn't show up. Okay, well, Tyrone Smith, he would have voted for Obama had he showed up, so let's go ahead and vote for him.
Well, right, but it's our own lack of participation in our own governance that has, and I mean, this ain't the last 10 years. It's not the last 20 years. It's the last 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because people don't want to miss a ball game.
Yeah.
Because people, they don't want to miss that TV show. They don't want to miss the 6 o'clock news. That they're too tied up in Jewish distractions.
Yeah, even.
Hmm.
Or I'd vote tonight, but American Idol's on.
Well, right.
Right.
And the Jew knows all this, and he's taking good advantage of it. So it's the mess we're in. It's nobody's fault but our own. But it's something that began. It's a process that began over 100 years ago.
Years ago, yeah.
When the Jew moved into this country and set up all his little gods, and our people went off to worship those gods, and instead of practicing the eternal vigilance that Thomas Jefferson told us would be required of us if we sought to maintain the freedoms from the noble classes that we gained in the 1770s.
Do you not think as well the advent of television has absolutely speeded everything?
Well, that's what I mean by the Jews setting up all their little gods, right?
Yeah.
Now, when I say the Jews moved into our country and set up their little gods, that's exactly what they did with television, with Hollywood, with the radio, with vaudeville.
I forgot about the film.
Of that happening was Satan setting up his little idols in our nations and leading us away captive by them.
But the early films, they seemed to have a nice feel about them, didn't they?
Well, of course they did. Yeah, you know, you feel warm and fuzzy about those movies because it recalls those days, and it's nostalgic, and it's nice. And they were still fairly clean. The Jews couldn't pervert everything right up front. It would have been too obvious. They had to do it over 100 years.
Yeah, this was one little by little. Yes. And then you see, like, divorce was a shame in the old days. You just never got divorced.
Yeah.
But they started promoting divorce with Hollywood starlets and stars going out, getting and making a big deal out of this, you know. And then to make a shame on them, but really it happened so often that it became like almost like a trend, like, oh, I'll get a divorce like Marilyn Monroe or something like that. And then they had these, but it started in the 40s when they had the I think the first real movie that really kind of promoted the idea of divorce was, and a single family mom or something like that, was Miracle on 34th Street, where little Natalie Woods in her cuteness, who was it, somebody else, Maureen O'Hara, I think it was, and some other famous hunk, you know, guy, they were the stars. And she was divorced, and she was looking for a daddy, you know. And so she found this guy who kind of liked her mom, and she sort of patched them together type of thing.
Yes.
And there's Kris Kringle and all that kind of stuff, you know. But that's how they started slipping it in real slow and making it look popular to get divorced. And now we have
step by step. Yeah.
And she herself, Natalie Woods, was married 3 times. And she wasn't born Natalie Woods. She was born Natalia Nikolaevna Zakharenko.
Really?
Really? A Russian Jew?
She said her family fled Russia during the revolution.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, does that make
Russian
her a Jew then?
I don't know of a whole lot of genuine Russians that got out of Russia during the revolution.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Jewish merchants, and we covered this in Russia number one, were allowed to leave Russia with their money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the fight wasn't against them. The fight wasn't against them at all. It was against the white Russians.
And Maureen O'Hara was born Maureen Fitzsimmons.
Really?
Well, that makes her English. That doesn't make her a Jew.
Yeah.
Fitz means son of
Mary Morrison.
But why do all these people in Hollywood change their names? Like John Wayne, he wasn't born John Wayne.
No, Mary Morrison. Marion
who?
Yeah. Marion Morrison.
He was born Marion Robert Morrison. If I was born Marion Robert Morrison, I might go by John Wayne for a stage name.
You could go by John Wayne for your daily name. It was Marion as a first name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have to agree. I don't know. It's our name is our heritage, though, and I don't think we should ever change it.
Well, let's give it to our parents.
My name is who I am. It's the history of my ancestors is wrapped up in my name. I would never. To me, it would be like spitting on my grandfather's if I changed my name.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy in my dad's hometown named Leslie. I wouldn't name a boy Leslie.
Yeah. In England, I think Leslie is a man's name, isn't it? Or could be.
Yeah. Well, it was a popular man's name at one time.
Yeah.
I quote Sharon Turner, and people ask me when she wrote.
English
all the time. What did she write? Yeah. Well, it's a man. It's not a she. I need to tell you.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of English names are really strange. So I had a first sergeant's name with... At first sight, his name was Many Penny, and that's a typical English name right there, Many Penny.
Yeah.
So they do have these interesting names.
There was one society out there that gave the child the right to change their name after they were an adult, and I don't know if it's a last name, maybe just a first name.
Well, if dad names you Leslie, he'd probably deserve to have you see you change your name.
Or, you know, the Johnny Cash song about the boy named Sue.
Yeah.
If my dad named me Sue, I'd probably have changed my name by now.
Yeah, I think it would.
Mm-mm. Well, there's somebody who is in Parliament. His first name is Hillary.
Yeah.
Well, there was a mountain climber, wasn't it? That was his last name, Hillary.
Yeah, that was his wife.
His first? His first
name. No, all these white liberal idiots I'm reading about naming their baby boys Barack when their kid is white.
Oh, no.
Well, that'll point him out to us, so we won't have to look so hard for
him. Oh, dear. Aren't people stupid?
9 year old.
But I mean, imagine you're raised in a household with white liberals, you're named Barack, and then you come to the identity message. I'm sure you change your name.
Well, there was a 9-year-old girl that was white, and she was very proud of the fact that she's related to Barack Obama. So I wouldn't be wanting to tell anybody about that. I think that'd be kind of not a good thing. I wouldn't want to be that.
Yeah, but it shows you how retarded people are.
Yeah, they are. They are really.
Yeah.
How far we've fallen.
Yeah.
His mother was Jewish, don't you, Bill?
Oh, yeah, you know what? I have a hard time believing she could have been really a real WASP.
I mean, she looks like a coffee house Jew. She born, let's see, Stanley Ann Dunham. She traveled around. It's no mistake that her parents were involved in multiple communist organizations. She traveled to Indonesia and all these other countries that were basically off limits to legitimate, decent, normal Americans. And what normal 20-year-old American just gets up and goes to Pakistan?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of dumbass liberals. There really are. There's a lot of poison indoctrination amongst our people that goes back hundreds of years. It's not only lately.
She specialized in economic anthropology. Is that even a field? Economic anthropology?
I guess if you're a Jew, it should be a field. That's definitely.
Yeah.
It sounds like a Jewish field.
And you can see her naked, but you can't see Obama's birth certificate.
The thing is, Obama never ever talks about his white mother. Never hear him mention his white mother. And the whiteness, he's half white.
Yeah. Talking about his parents at all, does he?
He's just talking about his drunk daddy who ran off and abandoned him and then got killed driving drunk.
Never mentions he's white.
Probably about 20 years too late.
Yes.
Yeah, the mystery man. What a joke.
Yeah.
Well, the civil liberal loves him.
Did you hear what he just said? He said, I can't walk around with my birth certificate stapled to my forehead. He said, I can't tack it to my forehead. Well, no one's asking him to tack it to his forehead. They're asking him to make it available. So he's making a straw man argument there.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's never going to make it available.
No. Oh, 20 years from now, maybe. We're dead and gone, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he must have a very thick skin. That's all I can say.
Well, a pig's skin.
He's a fucking. He's manipulated by the Jews. That's all he is.
Well, he probably is a Jew.
Yeah, well,
and,
partly.
And he's one of their ilk anyway, even just for not being white. He's a devil.
Yeah, yes. Certainly.
These people don't think like we do. They think like criminals.
Yeah, and he is a criminal.
In his birth certificate, I could come up with something better on Paint Shop Pro. I mean, the fake they released, that's just a slap in the face to America. I mean, you know, Bill, all the police department jobs I'm applying for, when I go there, they want to see my original birth certificate with the raised mark made by the county official.
That's right. They do. Yeah. That's true.
They don't accept some faxed copy. They say we want to see your original inked by the doctor and inked by the county official.
Yep.
It was strange when he was sworn in as president to think he had to do it again the next day because he didn't get the words right. That was all a bit fishy.
Yeah. Which president is this we've got here?
Yeah.
I never heard that.
Yeah,
they're all laughing at it, too. They laugh, big laughter. Ah, ha, ha, you screwed up the oath, you know. Well,
I think the judge did it again the next day.
I think
the justice actually did. I think the justice did it. He had a Bible there, but Obama didn't want to use the Bible. The second time he did it, they didn't even show if he had his hand on the Bible at all. Probably not. Probably on the Quran.
It might have been a Masonic Bible.
Yeah, but Chief Justice... Yeah, I think he's also gay, and the Chief Justice did it, so.
That was Rehnquist? No,
I think Chief Justice Roberts did this.
Roberts, he's gay. Oh, well, that's possible. The idea of the oath is, the Constitution says on such and such a day the oath shall be taken. It doesn't say the next day. It has to be done just right. And it wasn't done right. But there's a lot of little things that add up to this. Like he won't, Obama will not...
salute the flag.
He won't address the flag. He won't salute the flag. Like civilians, we're supposed to take our right hand and hover over our heart, you know, like that.
Yeah.
And that's the American way. I don't know what the English do, but that's the American way of doing things. And he doesn't...
Well, I would never do any of that stuff myself. But then again, I don't have the pretense of running for president.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
In the gentlecynic.net, I've got some pictures. I'll get the page here of the where he's not saluting the flag.
Well, basically, he's truer to his religion than we are to ours.
Yeah,
that's the example that I see in that.
Yeah.
I'm looking for. Okay, here it is. Yeah, on this page here, I'll put it in. I have found
because
it
we should have no allegiance but to Christ. A man can't serve two masters.
No.
That's right. True. Yeah.
Can't be in the world.
Right. And
well, yeah, but just see Obama serving his puppet masters. That's why.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not necessarily serving a religious thing. It's just a puppet.
Well, we should know that, and we should understand that he's truer to his religion than we are to ours. And you know, look at the Rechabites, right? The Rechabites, if you study them in Scripture, they're actually Canaanites. And Yahweh used them as an example. That they're Kenites. They descended from Cain.
Right,
Yahweh used them as an example because they were told by their ancestor, Rechab, never to consume alcohol.
Yes.
And they followed and they obeyed that and they never drank. Mm. And then the children of Israel were given laws by their God, and the children of Israel break every one of them. So you got this Kenite over here who's loyal to his ancestor and still doesn't drink. Yeah, you know,
who
Jews would be today? Very bad accounts.
Wait, who are you
drunk.
Saying? I've seen
they
pictures
wouldn't be
of
able
Obama
to
drinking beer.
They were drunk all the time.
I've seen Obama pictures of him at a basketball game, and he was drinking a tall beer.
My point is that Obama doesn't pay any allegiance to the United States because he doesn't have any.
Exactly.
That's right. He's offended.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's more worthy of his God than we are of ours. Because we, and I don't mean us in particular, but we as a people claim to be Christians and don't follow him at all and go off swearing allegiance to everything but Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
You can see those examples, two of them, about Obama's not saluting or honoring the flag or the national anthem on that link to the Gentle Cynics site that I just put up a little bit there.
And well, right, but my there. Point is that I would expect that of him if he was true about what he is.
Yeah. But most people, I think a lot more people think he is a Muslim than really would want to admit it.
But he's not really a Muslim. He's faking that, too. He's a Jew.
Yeah, an actual fact. Yeah.
He's done all the work of the Jews. Everything the Jews have wanted to do.
I don't know about his father.
He's done.
Yeah.
His father could have been a black Jew. I don't know.
Why are we still in Iraq? That was one of his campaign promises. Get us out in 4 months.
Because he's a puppet.
That's my point.
His message said not to get him all out. So.
But what we have is we have somebody that people perceive as a Muslim doing all the work of the Jews. The Jews win again.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, they've got a lot of blackmail on him, too, because they know he's from Kenya. They know he's bisexual. They know he's...
Well, right, but they set him up. It's not a matter of having blackmail on him. They picked him because they had it on him.
Yeah.
That's I forget it. Which That's Arab it. Leader it was. Some Arab militant said that he's just a house nigger for the Zionists.
Yes, right.
Well, that's all he's been.
Yeah. That's what it is.
But most Americans perceive him as being a Muslim. He wouldn't do any injustice to all those poor Muslims over there. So what he's doing must be right.
Yeah.
Claim that he does things for Muslims. He also been in a Muslim attire before and the like. But that could be a ruse, too. He could just be saying that.
And in reality, whether he's a Jew or a Muslim, whose side is he on? The devil's. Yeah. It don't matter. It's all the same.
It's all his own side. He thinks he's going to do, stay with the right people and everything, but he fails to realize that once the Jews are finished with him, they're going to take him out. They're going to do away with him, just throw him away.
Well, they always have.
They always do.
I think they're calculating that once they're done with him and he's a greater liability, he'd be worth more as a martyr. They'll blame it on some white extremists, and then they'll hammer through the Barack Hussein Obama remembrance gun bill to say that, we need to regulate those guns so they don't strike down the next trailblazing president we have. What if we have a woman and the misogynists go to kill her? In Barack Obama's memory, we need to ban these types of guns.
Absolutely.
Even Michael Jackson, 2 months before he was killed, that he even said that the Jews are the problem, that he made billions of dollars for them. He said nothing about the Jews. His last song, "Don't Care About Us," is about the Jews, because he mentioned kikes and Jews in it. And the Jews didn't like that at all. That's why they killed him. But he actually spoke out against the Jews in front of people as well as in the songs.
Well, it was on the internet something. Jew me, screw me, kike me, spike me. And then he said, all I want to see is they don't really care about us.
Yeah.
And that might have been a message to blacks, that all these blacks think all these Jewish civil rights leaders are out there working for them. They don't really care about them. They're just pawns.
Well, they ain't getting it because Negroes don't listen to that faggot.
Well,
only white kids listen to them.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of blacks that actually do listen to Michael Jackson.
Oh, because he's how can he be black? He went
there's probably a lot more to listen to the white Eminem.
Yeah, but Michael Jackson was a puppy for the Jews too, and he knew it. I mean, everybody around
was
Jews.
No.
Every black entertainer is a puppet for the Jews. And all the white ones too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Jews run the music industry.
Yeah, they do.
I mean,
anywhere. Yeah.
A government, Bill. Everything. Yeah.
Did you hear what Len Stett was talking about? He said that some Jew woman came to him and they wanted him to get together 10 or 20 identity people so they could do a reality show on identity in the Ozarks.
Wonderful. That's Winstead for you. He's trying to be a star.
I don't think he's going along with that, but if they did, it would be like the Beverly Hillbillies times 10, wouldn't it?
It'll be bad. It'll be Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
They're never going to come to you or Gerald and ask to tag along on a Bible study and see how identity people live, because then they'd see clean-cut, decent, normal people.
Lindstedt
looks like he was casted in Deliverance.
That's what they want.
That's right. Anything for a buck.
And I'm sure the people he would get, they look like they just came out of a cave and they're married to their sisters.
That's exactly what they would want. That's how they want to portray us.
They don't want clean-cut, decent people. And when I get in an argument with somebody, some idiot will tell me, stay in school and get good grades. Then you can go to a good junior college. And I tell them, I graduated high school almost a decade ago, and I have a four-year degree from a prestigious university. Thank you for your patronizing attitude, but I don't need it. And then they say, you're a right-winger. You know, you're probably living in a cave. Well, that's what the media tells them about us, isn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, they had a program on here about the Amish people. They had a couple of Amish teenagers, going round to live with several families in different parts of the country. And it really sickened me. All they're trying to do is make these people look simple and foolish. And what was the point in that program? There was none.
Right, that's
really
why I would never go on television. I would never do an interview in an alien audience. You can't participate in that stuff. They're only out to make you look bad.
And if they can't look bad through normal, legitimate means, they'll splice together parts of your speech and before you know it, they have you saying something. You're confessing the kidnapping of Lindbergh baby, but you never said it just because they spliced the words together.
I know. Well, it's disgusting.
That's what they did with Hitler. If you ever look, we see the World at War movies and all the speeches he's done on that, and they make it sound like he was out there saying he's going to kill babies and going to outtake over the world and all this. He never said that, but they spliced it all in and made him look like a fool.
Yeah,
they claim that he said, "Today we rule Germany, tomorrow the world," but I've never heard him say that in any of his speeches. Have you, Bill?
No,
he's absolutely never said anything like that. The only people that have said anything like that were the Jewish Bolsheviks.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hitler explicitly said that National Socialism was not for export, and we had to attack him for that. The Bolsheviks said we're going to spread our revolution around the world and drown the world in blood, and we sided with them because of that.
Yeah. Money, man. Money.
Yeah, the Jew.
Well, we sided with them because we're the great whore. We ride on the back of the Jewish world beast.
Well, actually, the Jews ride on the back of us.
Well, I'm using the biblical portrayal, right?
Our Babylon the Great. And the beast is the United States.
No. We are the whore.
Yeah.
We've given our power to the beast.
The beast is the system.
So,
yeah, but the Jews are dressed in scarlet.
The Jews are, as the scripture says, the dragon, which gives their power to the beast.
Yeah, and the Jews, the Jews are the government system.
Scarlet. We are the Jews whore. We're dressed in a belief that the Jews are God's people.
They're controlling the beast.
That's worshiping the image of the beast.
The control of the beast is what it amounts to.
And you know something, too? I'm looking at the Lend-Lease program. We supplied the Soviets with 2/3 of all the trucks they used for all their supply purposes.
Yeah,
we gave them 14% of their aircraft, 2,000 locomotives, 11,000 rail cars, they were only able to produce 92 locomotives due to the war, since war shut down almost all their rail equipment production.
Germany would have crushed Soviet Russia.
We propped them up.
Well, yeah.
Germany would have crushed Soviet Russia, and it would have crushed world Jewry for 1,000 years. And that's
Eisenhower was a Jew.
What the prophet said. So Germany couldn't be successful.
No. Eisenhower was a Jew, and so was Roosevelt. And Churchill, I guess, was also, I guess his mother was Jewish. But
yep. All the ones on Malta were Jews.
It was the British and Americans that started, well, I know they started World War II. I think they said Stalin started World War II. But British bombers were attacking German cities like up to a year before World War
II. I don't know about that. Never heard that
Great Britain.
Before.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I've never heard that either.
Yeah, that's what I read.
I know Roosevelt had been doing, you know, Britain went to war with Germany in 39. We didn't get in it until 41.
Yeah.
I know that Roosevelt had taken a lot of bellicose action and direct violations of
the
undeclared naval warfare.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, Roosevelt wanted to have Hitler declare war on the United States. He wouldn't do it. And so he went to Japan. And they had a naval blockade around the Japanese islands, what it amounts to. And forced the Japanese to attack in Hickam.
We're going
to
cover Hitler's declaration of war soon on the Sunday night program.
Declare war.
I find the programs excellent, you know, that you do. Excellent. The history and the Bible programs.
You know, Bill. The Americans were frequently seizing German merchant ships and delivering them to the British in 1940 and 41 before the war was declared.
Right, and they're all direct violations of treaty law,
That's not the actions of a neutral power. They were also keeping the British informed on the movements of German ships and German U-boats, and that's not a neutral act either.
No.
No.
No, and Hitler overlooked it for as long as he could.
He
never
wanted to overlook it, or did he not
war
know
against the United States?
No, he knew what was going on. He cited it as a declaration of war.
Okay.
And the U.S. moaned and complained about the Reuben James, a destroyer that was torpedoed by a U-boat, but the destroyer was dropping depth charges all around trying to sink the U-boat, so the U-boat had no choice except to fire, so they fired torpedoes and sank it.
But we're talking about the Jews that are commanding these goyim to do this. It's not the United States of America. It's really the Jews that control the America that are compelling the military to do these things.
Well, we went along with it. That makes us whores, just like the Revelation says it.
Yeah. Well, those that were actually doing it, though, they were just like good little Nazis. They're just obeying orders.
Yeah,
and I don't think a lot of them understood at the time that the Jews ran the country.
How do you tell your judge that you just didn't understand?
Well, there was
they're
no
going to
judge.
Have to answer for that.
Their boss was the judge.
I'm talking about their judge in the next life. How do you tell Christ when you stand before his judgment seat? Oh, I just didn't understand. I'm an idiot. I'd rather watch the Yankees every night on TV than read a book.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but at that time...
I thought I was Christian, but I never read the Bible.
Isn't that what the beast system tells us? When we say we didn't know about their convoluted tax code, they say ignorance is no excuse.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Or if they say, your car has this kind of device on it, since it's post-1986, it needs to have this kind of device on it. Well, I never knew about that. Well, you should have known about that. Now you're going to prison.
And by that reasoning, you could never never reproach a Jerry Falwell addict today or a follower of John Hagee. Don't say a bad word about them, because those poor people, they don't know. They might know if they read their Bible.
Yeah.
They claim to be Christians.
Marine that sunk that ship, I think the commander actually rescued a lot of the people on that ship and were towing them to safety, and a B-24 went by, an American B-24 Liberator went by and flew over them. And the people waved. They came back and dropped bombs on the people that the submarine rescued. That submarine had it submerged.
I was looking at something today.
I think that was
about
the same one.
What the mark of Cain was. And this person reckons that it's the mark of Cain was the police badge, that five-star badge.
Well, you know, that's just conjecture.
They think it might be the nose.
I know. I don't believe it, but I'm just saying how people get strange ideas.
Sure. It would have to be part of the person's anatomy, though. Physically on them, yeah. Part of their body, invisible.
And the six-pointed star, almost. They say that might be also the same.
That's why there's a lot of they reckon there's a lot of Irish in America that are in the police force.
Yeah.
Tribe of Dan.
That's true.
Well, there's not a lot of people who want to necessarily be police officers lately. You know,
anymore.
It's a very low-paying job, and they get nothing but scoff from the criminals, scoff from the people. You know, so and they had the Irish are so isolated, and the British that ran a lot of America, they wouldn't let them get any kind of jobs. Irish need not apply was a sign they had in the windows a lot of times.
Oh, years ago, yeah.
Boston, you know. So they had to get the jobs they could get, you know, and they're low-paid jobs.
Can I understand that? Why are they so anti-Irish? I can't understand that.
Well, I got a pretty good idea, but I'm not going to say just yet. But I kind of said the English are not what they are, and the Irish are what they say they're not. So we'll just have to work on that.
Are what they say they're not. Wait a minute. That's kind of weird.
I found Samuel Johnson. He's wrote the first, probably the first English dictionary in about 1700s. And he says, many things which are false are transmitted from book to book and gain credit in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
Like the Jews are God's chosen people.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
And it's just published. And since the Jews run the publishing houses, they can publish, book. And pretty soon we think, oh, yeah, that's the way it is.
Oh, yeah, there's like the Ten Commandments that talks about the Jews leaving Egypt.
If the Jews had been in Egypt, they never would have left. They'd have stayed behind as merchants and peddlers and panderers, wouldn't they, Bill? They would never leave a lucrative operation like Egypt.
Hell no.
They wouldn't.
So they didn't.
No, well, there was no such thing as Jews back then. Those are the Hebrews, or Israelites, actually.
But the Canaanites, they were still there, and all the other ites.
The first time the Jews even mentioned is in 2 Kings 16:5-6. That's like, 700, I'm thinking, B.C. in that era, roughly.
They were Jews.
Well, I'm just saying that King James is Jews. So, first time they're, they're fighting against Israel, they're probably the Edomites or something like that. But that's what that's, 2 Kings 16:5-6 basically says.
Right, well, that's a fact of convenience. They weren't Jews either.
Well, Judaism been the Talmud has been written like from 700 BC, and it was like tradition, and they put in book form between 700 to 1000.
What makes you think any of that tradition is Hebrew?
Well, I'm not saying it's Hebrew. It's all Edomite.
There's no record at all of that tradition until the Edomites are folded into the kingdom by the Maccabees.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Maccabees, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no Hebrew knowledge of that tradition until we have Edomites in Judea. So I would contest that tradition ever had any Hebrew roots whatsoever.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Well, I would say it's Hebrew roots. I'm not saying that the Jews aren't Hebrew.
Well, right, but I mean, you said the Talmud goes back to 700 BC, and that's not true. Because the Talmud is the codification of the Edomite religion. The second and third centuries
of their elders, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah, but it's oral teachings. Then they wrote it down about 700 A.D. to 1000 A.D.
They didn't write it down in 700 B.C.
Yeah. Then the oldest, I think the oldest Talmud or Masoretic text goes to like 925 A.D.
The rabbis codified their Talmud around the same time that they converted the Khazars. Is that correct, Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, and about the same time they codified the Quran.
That's true.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
True.
It's all about 800, 900, yeah.
when they needed to unify all the town camel jockey people behind some main common ideology.
So that they could use them against
to send them against Europe.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what they did as soon as they unified them.
Hmm.
That's definitely the river from the serpent's mouth. There's no doubt.
Islam was invented as a tool by the Jew to be used against white Christian Europe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you notice they have very similar religious festivals and religious doings too. They're close.
Mm. That's why I say it's Talmudism for sand niggers. It's what it boils down to.
Yeah. Sand niggers can understand it. Because I read part of the Talmud and or the Quran, and oh my goodness. I don't know how anybody can read that with any kind of civility. Strange.
Can you get that from the library? I mean...
No.
You can't get...
I don't know.
Betty, today you should be able to get one right down the street.
Yeah.
Get the room.
The way things are going in Britain, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Were you asking about the Talmud or the Quran? Because the Talmud, if you go to, 9 out of 10 libraries, they've never heard of the Talmud, and they don't have it, and it's not available.
Right, but you could get the Kabbalah pretty readily, because that's actually popular. There's some Jews making a lot of money on it, so they're selling it.
And idiots like Madonna buy into that. But I think she's a racial Jew anyway, don't you, Bill?
Oh, I'm sure. And if not, she should be, because she's a disgusting pig of an excuse for a human being, that's for sure.
Yeah.
She is a straight pig.
Who's that?
Madonna.
Oh, well, good
Madonna,
Lord.
Yeah.
No question, no question at all. she wanted to have her head's at. Or Rodman's baby, I should say.
Well, how people find out truth about things, it's not straightforward, is it?
It's never straightforward.
Well, if any of you other people want to say anything, Gerald, Papa Cat, Warrior Son of David, just flag yourself and I'll turn your mic on.
Yeah.
If they, for those that are interested, I don't know if...
There it is.
Bavarian man was saying that he promoted by scanning that German songbook, the SS songbook, and a couple others to put online, and I've got those online at the Gentle Cynic site that I put in before, and I have to get the address here. And I've also got on the audio library. The address in there, the audio library. I've got 7 albums of German marching music, if anybody likes that sort of stuff.
Little Robert Schumann?
Probably better than that. Yeah. It's right there. That's the march, and it's...
Marching music.
Gentle singing.
That's a radio program once.
Good night to everybody.
Good night.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
What hour would it be in Europe now?
It's half past nine.
Oh, yeah. How about
nine?
Some people, for day people, it's getting late. For night people like me, it's just getting started.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's about 3:30 where I'm at here in the afternoon. So.
We got Iceland 93 here.
That is, yeah. Yeah, 23. Yeah, that's right. And here in Germany, it's now 10:30. 10:35.
Yeah. There's also on the homepage of Gentle Cynic, you can watch. It depends on how much of a sense of humor you have. I thought this was pretty funny. Hitler's Bonker. Have you ever seen that video, Hitler's Bonker?
We have seen his basic bunker in Berlin. Yeah. We have seen that film.
Well, this is not the movie Hitler's Bunker. This is called Hitler's Bonker. Like, bonker is American. We call bonkers.
Oh, okay.
This is crazy. And it's a little cartoon of Hitler in his little bunker there, and he's talking about how the war's over and everything's going bad, and it's kind of funny, I suppose, if you like a laugh at circumstances. One's in English, the other's the original is in German, with English subtitles. Yeah. So if you wanted to have a little irritating amusement, maybe
Have
you got that Bavaria Man, that site for the German marching music? Because I can't see it. My screen's disappeared for
TeamSpeak. Yeah, I have it here.
All right. If
the
gentle city
points that down. Yeah, I can email you afterwards. That can be done.
Can be a problem. Your email, Matthew, I'm busy eating bananas.
Oh, you better do. Except that they are gassed out. The other week I had also a set of bananas, and then I'm always thinking about it, what they are doing with it, gassing them out. And the people who are handling them there in Guatemala, wherever, they are poisoned in a horrible way. That the bodies of these people are so poisoned with all these rubbish they are putting on it to make sure that there are no dirt or any kind of bacteria whatsoever. And then they wash them in all that rubbish. These people, their hands, their bodies, they're filled up with all that rubbish. That is today's banana. And then they are transporting them to Europe, and then they are gassed out on board of the ships, even. We have seen it here on a television, in a film. Then you are going and say, yeah, what is healthy on the banana? All that rubbish is going straight through the skin. And you are getting it into your food. So I wonder about the quality of banana. Once in a while have a banana. But don't eat them all every day. That's one of the dangerous things. But it's for many products in today's times. It's terrible. Yeah.
I was reading somewhere, you won't believe this, but Iceland was one of the largest banana exporters.
How did they do that? Oh, yeah, they had the... From the thermal warmth, they have been growing bananas. Right. They would have been better not to be gassed out, but it would be the best banana in the world. That is right.
Best get them from Iceland.
Hey, Pennsylvania is connected.
Great news, Bill. The economic worries in Ohio are over. Obama's coming to Cleveland next week to talk about the economy.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. Oh.
So he'll just say Abercrombie.
Well, what's he going to do, hire 3 million more government workers and just print the money to pay them?
I thought he would say abracadabra, and then steel mills are going to pop up everywhere.
Yeah.
He just announced blocking the sale of 800,000 surplus rifles from South Korea to America. There was a company set to buy 800,000 M1 Garands and M1 Carbines from South Korea. It would have been valued at between $500 million and $1 billion for the deal, and they were going to sell them to American citizens. And Obama says we don't need those weapons on our streets. When's the last time you seen someone rob a bank with a 10-pound M1 Garand?
Well, then Obama's not the smartest guy in the world either, so...
I don't think criminals are going to use a rifle that's about 4 feet long and weighs 10 pounds.
Now when you can go down the streets of Chicago and get yourself an M1 A1 tank. Get yourself a bazooka.
Look, clearly he's not that concerned with the economy.
No, he isn't.
They just passed up on basically $1 billion, but that's okay. They'll just raise taxes to get the money.
YouTube. I don't have that much time to read that all.
$1,000 more a month. Yeah. And Bush said, oh, no, we can't do that because our military isn't for pay. I'm thinking, well, what the world am I doing here? what do you mean? You know, out there.
Well, you know, God spoke and he said, let there be light, and there was light.
Yeah, that's correct.
And the Jews have been trying to do that same thing for 10,000 years, and they just don't get it yet. You cannot create, man cannot create anything from nothing.
That's right. That's right. That's
and we keep falling for it. The government's become our God.
Yeah. There was some
so whatever we get, we deserve because we fell for it and we thought that the government could play God and make something from nothing. And we thought like that ever since probably the last 20 presidential elections at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
The problem gets worse when you get the idea of physical science or chemical science involved, where they've got the cloning and they've got this genetically modified foods where they now patent that food because it's not natural. Now it's unnatural and they can patent it. And then they make seedless grapes and seedless watermelons and all the seedless corn, stuff like that, where you have to always go back to them. And one day these scientists got so smart that they've, well, look at that. We cloned animals. We've got this, all this stuff we've made with our own intellect. They kind of called a meeting with God. Says, God, you know, we're really grateful for all you've done in the old days, but we figured out how to do things like you did. And we really don't need you anymore, but thanks. And God said, is that right? Oh, yeah, we've created everything. We've just about done everything you've done, you know. He says, well, how can you prove this? Well, we can take some soil right here, and there's enzymes and there's proteins in there. We can make life out of that. And God says, wait a minute. Go create your own dirt.
Yeah.
go create your own dirt, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess I put an end to the conference. I'm looking for my songbooks, the Nazi songbooks, SS songbooks and things, and I can't figure out where I put them. haven't got a search. I'm looking everywhere. And I haven't got a search feature on the Gentle Cynic yet, site yet.
Why not?
I don't know. I can't find it. I don't see it here.
You should
Well,
have.
I can tell you why, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I'm trying to find out what they did with them. I just saw them the other day.
Well, maybe if you told me months ago that I never installed it, you know, you might get it done.
Well, I didn't notice until just now when I started looking for things. Usually I can find what I have, but I can't find it. Unless I have it in the Mein Kampf site, but I don't... Have you uploaded any of those songs to your Mein Kampf site? I don't think so.
I don't remember.
The songs...
I've got too much stuff.
The marching songs that are on the Gentle Cynic site that I put up earlier there... I'd like to eventually have those moved over to the Mein Kampf site because that's where they really belong. But I put them up there so that you guys can get at them. And you can download them and then put them into the file and a folder that'll have the name of the album on it. And the name of the album when you see the song there, it'll say, like, the first one says Panzerlied. And then down the bottom it'll say log in and register, blah, blah. Way over to the right corner, it'll say Panzerlied again. Well, the second song is whatever, Poland Land, and it'll be, the whole first group of them are Panzerlied from the album. So you can save those down and then move them into the folder called Panzerlied, and you can play them one after the other. The way they're set right now is you play one song at a time, kind of like the old days when you had to change the record, you know, but at least they're there. But the song books I can't find. I don't know where they are.
Is that a shortcoming also?
Sure. I mean, keep Bert and Bill with as much as we can get them on, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'll keep looking here. I know I've got them somewhere in here. I've got four different Schutzstaffel and just general army songbooks, and it's in German, so I don't know how to read it, you know, but it's there.
Well, just straightforward.
It's what?
Yeah.
It's straightforward.
Read it. Just read it.
You know what's really amazing is, I don't know how you Germans can read this stuff. The wiggles and squiggles you have in the old German, not the Roman, I guess it's called Roman is the modern type of German print, which is sort of like the English letters.
The Gothic.
Yeah, the Gothic, right. I can't figure out how to read that at all. I mean, that's...
The English used to write in Gothic script, the old manuscripts also.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, you'll see that in some of the old documents.
But it's readable. But
once you get into it.
You have to learn it, that's all. For even at my Bible, the old Bible of 1655, which I have, that is also written in the Gothic way of writing. And not deviating that much from German. But it's easy to, well, easy. You have to get used to various of the signs and then you can read it easily enough. And even the old way of German writing is readable, but you had to learn it. We had to learn, formerly they learned it in school here, and that's now over. They don't learn it anymore. If you ask a German boy to read a book in the Gothic work, they can't read it anymore. That's all over for them. But it's the older generation. They know it still. Oh, yeah. I had to learn it as well. Then it's more for interest and studying the historical things. Then it's better that you have to have these old ways of writing. Then you have to know it. But you can get it's not too difficult. You can read it. It takes you some time, but then it's possible. But yeah, it's reading German, the modern way of German writing, and then reading for anyone in England or America. It's a lot more difficult. That's a lot more difficult. Sometimes you can stumble over peculiar words. What was it? Café houses? For Bavaria.
Kaffeehäuser, okay.
Kaffeehäuser. Yeah, the famous words. But we learned at school in the Netherlands, that's now 40 years ago, we had a little booklet, and that was called Schwierige Wörter, or Difficult Words in the German language, and we had to pump it in. Yeah, that's what we had at school. There's no way to escape for us. Now, we had to learn four languages in the Netherlands, so we lost a lot of time in that, and others were going to do football or whatever, but we had to study these languages, fortunately, after all. That's what it is. Yeah. The what is he saying? The Paternoster in Gothic, Icelander. Yeah. Gothic? Hmm. Well, I never knew. Oh, whatever. But so it is, fellows, so it is.
I think it's probably good that they teach something, at least overlapping the generations, so that there's some memory of it. But eventually that old Gothic, like you're saying, it'll just pass from sight, and people will look at that and they won't know how to read it anymore. And it's a foreign language to the very people whose language it is.
Yeah. It's a normal language, in a way. And if you're reading books from Martin Luther or so, well, that's all written in Gothic. Yeah. If it is the original book. Yeah. And when you're going to archives here, then you mustn't be looking strangely when you get all this in the Gothic writing. The older it is, the worse it is. Or it's changing in Latin. That can also be. It is in Latin, and it's difficult then to read. Fortunately, we didn't have so far problems in that, for we were in searching in the northern part of Germany, and there it was still written in normal German, and then switching over in Latin. Then it's getting pretty hard. But the clergy materials, that's all standard stuff. That's more or less a form which was filled out for all the marriages, etc., and all the information of marriage and birth, etc., and death. That was all pretty simple to find out, and it's all standard. And then the normal German names are written behind it. So that makes it easier in the archives to find out where you came from. But when you're going beyond the time...
Then how come we don't have Obama's birth certificate?
Problematic. That is right.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
We can see his mother naked on the internet.
Obama's
certificate. They better burn the certificate of Obama together with Obama.
I'm just making a joke. That's all.
You know, somebody supposedly found a copy of his original Kenyan birth certificate. At the time, his mother was like 9 months pregnant, and the airplanes in those days didn't go. They didn't want to make any quick landings because there's no place to land in Africa, you know. So she went to Kenya and go back to America so this guy could be an American. Well, they said, no, we can't take you because it's too late term. You know, you have to wait until he's born, and then we'll take you. You know, just because of the possibility of going to labor in the airplane, because those days there were really long flights, you know, and hours and hours, not like now, it was just a couple of minutes. And so he was born there in Kenya, and everybody knows it, and everybody out there is aware of it. And this one guy got a copy of it, but you see, the problem is it's evidentiary. It's not admissible because he had to bribe some clerk in the wherever it was, like the courthouse or wherever they have their bureaucratic documents, to bribe him to give him a copy of this one. And so that makes it completely inadmissible. But this, it shows that he was born there.
Sure, you know, the Kenya ambassador was on the radio a while ago saying that his birth home has become quite the tourist attraction, and Kenyans are very proud of it.
Yeah. He opened several times. He admitted, he was born here.
Yeah. His wife admitted it.
What was that?
His wife admitted it, and she put a video up on my site.
It says his homeland of Kenya. Yeah, it doesn't quite peg it, saying
his
he was born there, Kenya. But saying it's his homeland is persuasive, but it's not really convincing. It's not exactly saying he was born in Kenya. It's just his homeland in Kenya. So who knows? Maybe his father could say it was from Kenya. I don't know. But you know, it's close but no cigar type of thing. We're going to get that dumb broad to say it outright. He was born there.
Hey. Iceland, they say, doing it in Dutch.
Now look at that.
What is that?
It's Greek to me.
He is writing Dutch.
Yeah.
No, it's simple Dutch. That's all.
He's writing about Darth Vader.
Yeah. Where's Iceland getting that from? He must have had somewhere in bookwork.
Maybe he got online and copied it from somewhere. And just put it in.
It's easier. Oh, paternoster.com. Okay. You got it from there, yeah. That's right. Yeah. I would also say that it's a Dutchie living in Iceland, but it can't be.
Maybe when he was young like you, he learned several languages, too.
Yeah.
Well, why can't Dutch people live in Iceland? I'm curious now.
Yeah, are you sure? It's unlikely. be careful. Be careful about one thing. Very important. Never shout somewhere in the world in Dutch, because there's always one in the area. That's well known.
You know what? I saw this guy with a police dog, an attack dog, and he was training. He was showing people how this dog works with the local county sheriff, you know, and blah blah blah. Yeah. And one guy got up there, and this was like in an open field where they had this little dog show type thing. And they had a dog out there, and he says, "I noticed that you're giving the commands to your dog in Dutch."
Yeah.
You'd think a German shepherd would take it in German, but he says, no, they use Dutch because German's getting too common, and sometimes the criminals learn a little couple of German languages, so they speak like sit or whatever, roll over, and the dog will go do it because he's told. So they use Dutch now. It's a little bit of an obscure language that nobody knows too much in America.
Yeah. But now it's even getting more interesting. He's now even writing South African. Really South African, yeah. This is a language you can't understand at all. Yeah, hij lei ons niet in die verzoeking niet, maar verlos ons van die boze. Yeah, that is exactly South African.
What is the language of that South Africa? Afrikaner?
Afrikaans. That's Afrikaans. That's
Afrikaans, yeah.
Yeah. That's Afrikaans, yeah.
There's a language just fading out faster.
This is more interesting. This is... to me, a bit strange language, but it's coming from north. Falta Kunta. Ja Voima, Ja Kuniga, Ja Kasig... Nee, that's another language which I don't know. Anameli, Tanavings.
Finnish, he says. Finnish?
I would say Finnish, yeah. I was thinking about Scandinavian, and that is Finnish in this case, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think the Finns are two kinds of people. One is Caucasian and the other is more Mongoloid. The Laps is Mongoloid.
It's not Indo-European, that's right. But it is. They are external. They are Turco-Mongolian, they told me formerly.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, and how they got that far up, I don't know, but they're there.
And then you have the other ones, the Sami. And they are Mongolians. Yeah, that's the Lapland, the Lapman. The Lepis or whatever, and they are called Sami. Yeah, that's right. And if you take a bottle of alcohol, 80% alcohol, and you bring it to the zombies, you can get a complete deer for it.
Really?
One of my chiefs, he had it. Yeah, they are loving the alcohol because it's so expensive there. They can't pay for it. There's some acidic in Lithuania. Yeah, that's right. In Lithuania.
Don't give fire water to the Indians. Yeah.
Never
that's
give
right.
fire water to the Never. Right. Or Mexicans either.
Yeah.
They'll be sober just because they can't afford to get drunk.
Yeah, that's true. But then they go come back.
No, sometimes you can find quarter Chinese even. Well, yeah.
You make any kind of liquor, my goodness, they go nuts.
I think the Japanese are supposed to be also the same way. They can't really hold the liquor too well, even with the
silence.
Yeah.
Because they just can't handle it somehow.
Sake is more of a natural liquor, too. It doesn't have all the chemical weird stuff in it, like in the United States.
German beer.
Some of the beers are made at, like, the local brewery house they have around in here, and every city's now got these little micro brewery houses, you know, where they don't use preservatives because they make up just enough to be able to serve for that week, and
that's
it's really good tasting, you know. England, they had laws that where they would hang you. They're called, I think it's like beer laws or something like that, that you are not to pollute, you're not to use sugar or any other kind of accelerant or any kind of preservatives or anything like that. This is like 100 years.
That's Germany, the beer purity laws. I don't know if England has them also, but.
Okay, maybe it's Germany. Yeah, they take you out and send you to the next world if you.
You can only make the beer out of certain types of grain.
Yeah, hops, and yeah, you go down.
It's normal.
You have plenty of beer here. Yeah. I mean, remember going to the opera house.
You can't make it out of rye, right?
They have rye whiskey, don't they?
No, in Germany, you can't make beer from wheat. I think.
Well, barley.
What did you mean?
I think it's wheat. You can't make beer from. What is that, Matthew?
From wheat? What kind of wheat? Well, we have it all from corn.
The German beer purity laws.
We have here, there are certainly laws, but nobody's really bothering about it.
The Renheimer.
In the original text, the only things they could use for beer were water, barley, and hops. The law has since been repealed, but many German beers for marketing purposes continue to declare that they abide by the rule.
In Bavaria. I knew there was something up with that.
Yeah, but beer is so holy in here, certainly in Bavaria, that they will never think about it making it out of something rubbish. Beer must be beer because it's their holy product.
A lot of them are now using wheat, malt, and cane sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar and beer,
Yeah, but not here in Bavaria. They're very keen on it. And they don't like rubbish.
Of beer when I was in Germany, that the Hofbrauhaus, and I never got drunk. It's really good stuff. I think it's because no chemicals are in it and no weird stuff is in it. It's all natural.
It's all natural, yeah.
Yeah, it's all
they
natural.
They never put in rubbish. They are very proud about it that they have the real original, and they will never give that up.
Did you know a lot of beer companies put soot in fly agaric mushrooms as preservatives, and the Germans wouldn't let those in during the West Germany era
when they were just known as West Germany.
Yeah, they want to have it pure, and they won't have any kind of preservative strange rubbish materials. No, they are far too proud about it, and because it never goes finished, it's finished so quickly. Because they saufen, or better say, they drink too much of it. And when they make a war here, from neighbor to neighbor, they are going to fight each other and a big fuss, and in the end they are going to sit in the beer garden and they have their beer, and then the whole fuss is simply over. Because the beer is the most important. Even if you have a problem, you get finished it with beer. And when you're going west from here, then you're coming in Baden-Württemberg, in the western part of Germany, there they have good wines. That's what I prefer.
That's good stuff.
Just
wine.
In the area south where Bill came from. They're beautiful wines, super wines.
Yeah,
so,
right by the,
you have all what you need here. It's a
right
good
by the French.
It's a good area
French.
To be here. That is, you can have beer and wine here. And, the planning is that we have the next conference for next year in my house here. And last week, I started up to make cherry wine. And it's so far going. It's fermenting. Maybe about 1.5 gallon of cherry wine. That would be fine. I hope it will finish in a correct way, but... At the market here in Munich, I got some 5 kilograms of cherries for a next to nothing price.
Wow.
There's a lot of things coming around saying you can brew your own beer here in America, you know, and you get your little kettle and all that sort of stuff. But it's a particular, you really have to be watching it. And it's I think, more failure than anything else. Eventually, maybe somebody might come up with something, but it's... It's a technique that has to be very carefully watched and accomplished.
This is crazy. I was disconnected. Which idiot did it?
Nobody did it.
Okay.
Your signal dropped.
Yeah. I got just fine. A nice woman saying that I'm disconnected. What for? I didn't do it.
Nice woman.
Yeah. That's very often in today's times. But never mind, anyway.
Yeah, you can tell this is the TeamSpeak. You can tell TeamSpeak, I think, is from a German origin. They have the... I turned off that voice every time I do something. This woman's voice would come on and say something activated. And she wouldn't say activated, she would activated. I think it's how they put the accent is in a different part of the word.
TeamSpeak is German.
It came from Germany. Okay.
Yeah. The accent on the wrong syllable, I think, is the old joke.
TeamSpeak came from Linux and from the gaming community.
Linux, huh?
And there's a lot of great free Linux software that all comes from England, Germany, Scandinavia, Ireland.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a whole culture over there that's very anti-Microsoft.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And they've really clung to the... taking off of the open source community. And even your websites, Ron, that I put up in Drupal, that comes from Germany, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now I understand why one of the leader, very important persons, who have been writing these programs, etc., he is against all that stuff, because it's a Frenchman.
Oh, God, blame the French.
I learned. I saw his name.
Blame it on the French. There you go. That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
It's like
I was so amazed about it the first time. I said, man. Yeah. Yeah?
It's just like in the United States when we say blame it on Canada. Like that South Park, blame it on Canada.
Yeah.
Site that got the software, because I've got Microsoft on my computer, and it wouldn't be a bad thing to get away from.
Well, I've got Linux on 3 out of 4 computers in my
What's
house
the
right
name?
Now, and I'm getting Linux on the 4th one as soon as I can.
It's a great
It's just a huge job. It'll take me 2 days to do it.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Well, most of us don't have that much to work with. We've only got one of the little computers in our houses. But the worry that most of us would have, I think, is that can we still function online? Can we still open up documents that are sent from Word and stuff like that, and still get them the way they are intended to be sent?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Quite easy.
At XP on my computer, which is pretty good. I also got the Word document opener thing too.
My mother got a new computer, and it was delivered yesterday. I put Linux right on it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I ordered it with Linux. She got it with Linux, but it had Ubuntu, and that's Ubuntu. That's a little too Negro for me, and I never even booted it. I put the CD in and put Linux Mint right on it.
Well, I have to give me address so I can get this information for Linux.
Just go to mint.com.
Mint.com.
I think it's mint.com. Just Google Linux Mint.
Is it L-Y-N or L-I-N?
L-I-N. It might be mint.org, linuxmint.org or something. Just Google Linux Mint, M-I-N-T. You download the file, you burn off an ISO to a CD, and
you got it, huh? How much
yeah,
it cost?
Install it on your computer. Now, it'll Windows 7 and Windows Vista don't like cohabiting a computer with it, right?
Why not?
But you should be able to, well, they don't. I know they don't. I've had experience. But you should be able to install it as a dual boot on Windows XP and boot either one when you start your computer.
On one of my computers, I've got it with XP as well.
XP is a much better behave. Windows 7 won't behave with it on the same computer, from my experience.
Hmm. Probably have files saying the same thing, doing different things, but jams it up.
Well, it's not Linux Mint unless it comes from my animal clinic. Mint Hill Animal Clinic.
That's Lynx, not Linux.
Lynx and Linux, yeah. A pure Germanic language. Yeah. Like Icelandic, yeah, Icelandic, yeah, sure.
L-I-N-I-C?
L-I-N-U-X.
Oh, duh, I'm sorry. I guess it's true what they saw about they said about Americans. They're really down.
You went to a public school.
Yeah,
speak to your half of America.
And Roman Catholic at that. Oh my God! Oh, yeah. Well, I'm all messed up. Linux Mint. There you go.
Now, the download's over a gigabyte, right? It's a huge download. And you have to have a program that can burn an ISO onto a DVD.
Okay, I've got a DVD here. We'll see what happens. All I can do is they say no. Oh, my God, they got all sorts of weird stuff.
Well, the ISO file that you're downloading is only a disk image. And a special program writes those ISO files to the DVD for you. You can't just copy it to the DVD. It's not going to work.
Well, this is going to take some time to get the idea. It says download Linux Mint 9.
Well, I'm going to put it on my laptop. I have Linux Mint 8 on my laptop, and I'm going to upgrade it to 9 tonight. And I'm backing up the system right now so I could do that. But right now, I'm only up to 95,000 files backed up and 337,000 files to go. As soon as they back up, I'll be able to upgrade my laptop.
Now, is this something that we can... Well, you'd have to have a DVD burner. I guess the guy next door has one of those. I can maybe... I guess I'd have to go to his house and have him download
it. No. Well, you have to have a DVD burner on your... Right, because it's too big for a CD to file.
Yeah, I haven't got a burner. I can play them, but I can't burn them. So I'd have to probably go over to you. Oh, if it's a gigabyte, I might be able to save it on a flash drive, I suppose, if it's a 4-gigabyte flash drive, you know, and then take it over there and have him
bring
it down to a DVD. Okay.
Right, and then you boot from it and install it on your computer.
Now, is there anything special he needs to know on how to burn that?
Just have a program. I got a program. What's the name of it called? I'm looking.
Okay.
I don't use it that often, and I can't find it.
Okay, well, you can have
it
on.
What's your program do?
It burns ISO files on the DVD.
Oh, is it a Roxio? Power ISO?
Well, Roxio will do it, but I have Roxio. I don't use this. Is a small utility. I'll come up with the name of it in a minute. As soon as I can find it, I'll recognize it.
I have Power ISO for mounting the ISOs, and then I burn them onto a CD or DVD, but I forget which program I use. I have a number of them.
Yeah, right. I probably have a couple.
Oh, wow.
One of them's AstroBurn. That works. It burns ISOs onto DVDs and CDs. AstroBurn, all one word. And another one is PowerDVDDX, and that's a free utility that's what I actually used the other day.
Well, I got to get moving for these accomplishing stuff, so... I'll catch you guys later. Nice talking.
Take care, Swordbird.
God bless.
Okay,
watch
bye-bye.
Sunday.
Okay, these are real cheap. Wow. $10? $15?
For what?
For these downloads. Linux
is free. You don't pay to download it. Well, there'll be places that advertise that, but they're just trying to take your $10. It's
well, they've got the but they've got the disc. If you want the disc,
yeah, right. So, they'll charge you $10 and you get a disc mailed to you.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Well, send me $10. I'll mail a disc to you.
Hey,
I got one sitting here.
In fact, that'd probably be better off.
If you really need it, send me your address and I'll mail a disc to you.
I'll do that because you probably need the $10 more than.
You don't have to send me the $10. I'm just joking, but I hate to see you spend $10 on something that's free.
Well, I'd send you $10 just to avoid having to bother somebody else to doing something I can't do for myself. And then
I'll
say you could use the money.
Send me your address, Ron. I got your address.
But which one do you use? They've got many.
Well, if Bill makes it for you, who cares?
Linux Mint 9. That's all you need to know.
Just Linux Mint 9.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And let me tell you something. Linux will let you get a lot more years out of a computer than Windows will.
I bet.
Yeah.
Because I'm talking to you on a 10-year-old computer with 1 gigabyte of memory in it. This computer was about done. I mean, it was running slow as hell with Windows XP. And I put Linux Mint on it, and it does everything I need it to. I run 2 browsers and TeamSpeak on it all the time.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And it runs fine.
All of our Microsoft files seem to have such huge sizes. I could say something in WordPerfect, because I still use that. It'll be like 10,000 bytes, a letter, I save it in Microsoft Word, and it's 50,000 bytes. I don't know what the problem is. Either I've got a setting wrong, or it just saves it.
Microsoft has a lot of software bloat. Word 2007 cut out a lot of that bloat from their document structure, though.
Yeah, every paragraph.
Word 2007 files are usually a quarter or 30% of the size of Word 2003.
What's Splunk? Yeah. It says download Splunk. I know what that is. Windows XP?
I don't know.
This is says. It says kernel Linux distributed. I don't know which.
Well, we're talking about Linux, and this is a Euro forum, right?
Yeah.
You know, Bill, I'm looking through my, speaking about the Euro and kind of touching living on Mein Kampf, as it would, I can't find on my website, I hope I didn't accidentally delete it, all the German marching songbooks and a few others, and I'm trying to figure out what I did with them. I had I had the Germany Speaks and a bunch of other National Socialist books, and I can't trying to figure out what I did with them.
Well, with the paper copies?
Pardon me?
With the paper copies?
The one I have on the, I think I had it on the Gentle Cynic site.
Well, I may have moved them.
Oh.
Well, that says a lot.
For them, then.
you probably have them on the Crime and Iowa site, and I probably moved them.
Well, it was not on Race and Crime. It was over in Gentle Cynic. But you probably would have moved it from there, too. But where would I look to find them in the... you got a search feature here. I'll just...
I don't know if I'd moved anything that you put on Gentle Cynic. I don't think I'd move that. Unless you put it in a folder for me, you've done that. And then I would delete it after I download it.
No, not that I know of. I think I may have... I moved some things around and kind of... cut and paste, and I wonder if I accidentally deleted them out of there. Maybe if you have your backup version, it'll still have it.
Yeah, well, we still have it. Don't worry about it. I got all that stuff.
Okay, I'll look. So I've been looking and looking and looking here, and I can't see. I thought it was under either general reading, or else it would be under books by others, and it's just gone. Maybe I knocked it out by mistake.
Okay, now how in the world do you do this? I have no idea how to download it. The download link. No idea how to download the sucker.
I shall be called.
There's where you call Bill on the side and send him some money. He'll tell you.
I think I
Stephen Hawking. No.
Just send me your address and I'll drop the disc in the mail. I'll probably drop it in the mail Saturday, though.
Hey, that is just fitting to me. God has no role in universe, says Stephen Hawking. I don't like that man at all. See,
no, he's a little piece of dog dirt.
Doctor?
In a wheelchair.
Yeah,
I read some of his A Brief History of Time. It's straight garbage.
Yeah. Who's
You're
that?
Right.
It's psychobabble dressed up as science.
Who's that?
Right.
And they consider this clown some great genius, and he's just a clown.
Yes.
Yeah, and no more. Yeah.
Well, everybody out there in the science world has to get published, and they want to be able to get their name out there, come up with some phenomenal discovery or explanation, you know. And since the universe is so inexplicable, anybody comes in there with a white coat on and saw himself a scientist, he can utter anything he wants, and people believe it.
And not only that, but if you're especially a white scientist, but if you're a scientist and you're credentialed and you speak against the existence of God, the Jew will love you and put you on a pedestal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, certainly. Yeah. But from the beginning on, I didn't like that man for whatever reason. I've never read any of his books.
I started to read A Brief History of Time. I think I got a couple of chapters into it. It was garbage. I threw it aside. I read Carl Sagan. I read Cosmos.
Yeah.
It was very interesting where he talked about the history of science, right? About Kepler and Copernicus and all of them. And that was good. But outside of that, the book was straight evolution, Jew pap. And it was garbage.
Yeah.
And that was my own personal search, for the truth in my mid-20s, which I really didn't find until my mid-30s, right? But I could never believe the evolutionist crap. I understood, even when I was 20, that it was a religion dressed up as science.
Yeah.
Well, even atheism, and the courts have decided that atheism is a religion.
Oh, yeah, humanism.
Even though they don't believe in God, it's a religion. In other words, it's a systematic belief.
Right, absolutely. Atheism is a religion.
Yeah.
Secularism is a religion. It's atheism with a different name, Baptism and Protestantism and Presbyterianism.
Yeah, it's just a belief system.
Now, they all get tax money.
Stephen Hawking might say no to God, but I think we could believe that there'll be no Stephen Hawking first.
Well, there will be Stephen Hawking, but he'd be swimming in the lake of fire, sunbathing in the sands
It's pretty likely,
funny, because I bid somebody farewell and to enjoy their swimming in the lake of fire today in an email.
Yeah.
Gee, Bill, I haven't checked my emails yet. Maybe you sent it to me.
No, this guy, he told
Could
me...
that be a mistake?
He told me that I couldn't exclude Negroes and Chinamen and red men from heaven, and that sooner or later we'll get there, and one of us will tell the other one, I told you so. I said, I'm going to get there, and I'm not going to tell you anything, because you're going to be enjoying your swim in a lake of fire.
You might visit him on the beach though, Bill. You could visit him and say,
"Hey, piss on him if he was on fire.
Here's a towel for you. Wipe yourself off. I got a glass of water for you. Want a donut? Hot dog?
Yeah. I don't even want to see him again.
Well, one time I said something about the Jews. I got a threatening notice. Everybody's going to kill me and all that stuff. I said, sure, blow it up your whatever. So, but anyway, I don't know how to do this thing. So I'll tell you what, I can give you my address. Do you want me to send it by email?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you my email. send you my email. I'm pretty computer illiterate. When I'm an American, what do you expect? I'm dumbed down.
Well, you should send him your address by email.
Well, I'm going to send it right now. He needs it. Oh, Winston Shrout has got a new solution to commerce. That might be good. I might see if I get that, too.
So,
I got your emails. I'm going to send it to you right now.
For those that have a good laugh, so I'm going to find where I put it. Let me get to that page first. I found different places in the world, they've discovered that there are swastika-shaped buildings. And look at this. It's all organized now. So I'm going to show you the page where it's at. Yeah, okay, right here. There's some in America. There's some in Munich. There's two of them. No, that's wow.
Even.
Oh, is there? Look, I can't spell it wrong.
Keep on cutting off. It could be this headset. It might be. I might need a hub for my computer. Yeah, it's you say something, it's like, in the middle of everything, I just get off, so it might be the headset. Okay, but that guy needs to be a computer, too.
It's mostly just fit buildings.
So if you went to that website there, it's on mk.kustogenia, and you scroll down, it's alphabetical, scroll down.
Sussex Man is dropped. He's coming back. Munich swastika shop.
Well, we seem to have run out of steam. He's probably tired of the trivial banner, right?
I got to get on some meat here. So you scroll down there, and you can swastika found at Navy Base in San Diego.
Really?
Another one on a field in Canada. There's some old people's home in Alabama. Has a swastika shape. Some Arizona. There's two of them right next to each other. Munich, there's two of them. And there's this water fountain in
Belgium. Munich.
Yeah, in Munich, or less.
It is
such
crazy.
A deal. And in Kenya,
I have to find it.
I thought in Germany you couldn't say Nazi or.
No, you can't even raise your hand there.
Oh, duh. I know it didn't work.
How did they get away with that in Munich? I mean, that's an instant execution, right? That's
it.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Life in the gulag forever.
You get thrown in jail for a long time.
It says the, here again you got these strange words. The swastika, they nicknamed it. Constructed in 1934, four linked houses formed the outline of a swastika. According to the architect, the design was supposed to decrease heating and construction costs.
Yeah.
Another one, which I have a picture of. And the question that the person
So he got over on it by convincing the Jews they'd save a few bucks?
Well, it was 1934 Germany, so I think he pretty much had Hitler's approval.
Oh, that's when it was built. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
This is in Munich.
Well, the Jews will accept this.
Well, they'll accept anything where they can save a few dollars, I mean.
Yeah, no, they're hypocrites, you know.
Yeah.
They're not going to follow the religion if they make a buck.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well.
Yeah, there's two of them there in Munich, and I got pictures of them right there. Aerial photographs.
No wonder, yeah. Aerial photographs,
Well, actually, it's from Google. The Google Earth, you know, where they can zoom in and look at your backyard and watch you, you know, as you're mowing your lawn or something like that.
So how did you get a search for swastika-shaped building? I mean,
I just went on Google and searched for swastika buildings.
Really?
And I think it came up, all these came up.
Yeah, it's in Google.
I knew from before, I lived in that area there where this Navy base in San Diego is, and it's there. And that was the first I heard of it several years ago. And I decided to put that up on
the
here, and then I started looking around.
Do you see the Chinese base there by San Diego?
I've heard that down in Mexico there's a lot of Chinese military, but that's, you know, they get these rumors going like black helicopters and stuff.
1993 to 1997, and they were doing a beachhead in San Diego, and they...
Lost.
They're met by Chinese two vanishing AK-47s. They're kicked off the beach of California. That was kind of interesting.
Off the beaches of where?
Right off of San Diego. There's supposedly a Chinese base there somewhere.
Oh.
There's a lot of stuff that travels right-wing circles that's spurious that we have to really verify before we... And a lot of that stuff can't be verified.
National Guard unit. So he's in the Marine Corps at the time, in 94 to 97 or something like that.
Well, right, so where's the book?
Are you saying that a man in the Marine Corps told you this?
Yeah. He was my National Guard unit, but he was the Marines from 97, and they did a beachhead in Southern California. Went inland, they were met by Chinese troops with AK-47s, were kicked off the beach.
Well, they must be down in Mexico then, because it wouldn't happen in America. So they must have been kicked out maybe down in Mexico, like in Baja.
Well, I don't know where the base is at. They're saying that the San Diego shipyard supposedly was kicked to the Chinese. Now, that's, you know, conjecture. So that's what I was, that's what I heard. But he said that he actually was with the Marines when they kicked off the beaches in California.
Well, if you could check in that again, because it's probably pretty far
Chinese
away.
Chinese troops. Supposedly, Mexico's got a lot of Chinese troops in it, too. So. And I guess it was in 2003 that Border Patrol found Chinese troops doing a simulated combat mission 20 miles north of Mexican-U.S. border. They're like on American soil. You didn't hear nothing about that either. But I have to look it up so I can find out where this base is.
Yeah, that's like Samuel Johnson. The things that are false get accepted as credit because they're repeated so many times.
Right. Yeah, I'd be skeptical of all those accounts until You'd think there'd be a book. You'd think there'd be somebody on the internet screaming about it. I mean, if I was a Marine and had that experience, that's what I would be doing.
And maybe they did years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the government might deny the USS Liberty event, but the survivors of the USS Liberty, they're out there telling the story on the internet every day.
Yeah, they are.
So where were these guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's why I'm skeptical of all those.
That's what he told me, so.
Oh, Bill, before I forget it, can you put my name on your mailing list? I'm not on.
No, you have to put you have to do that.
There you go. Oh.
You go to my contact page at Chris DeGennier and sign up. It's real easy. You put your email in twice and you hit the button and you'll get a link in the email verifying it and you click the link and you're on.
Okay, I got it here.
My email list, you know, a lot of these guys have email lists of names that they collect, right? Yeah, you know what I mean? And they just send out emails to everybody because they got their
name, that's
whether they want them or not. My email list, you actually got to go sign up for.
Okay.
It's a real email list, and you got to want to be on it.
Now, if I were to put my information in there and it was a duplicate, that would...
Yeah, there it is. I see it. Yeah, I see a swastika building in San Diego.
Yeah. Bill, if I were to type in my name and address there, would it just... And if I had... put that in previously, that would just cancel it out and make it still the one?
No, you'd be on both. Oh, no, the same address isn't going to go on twice, no.
Okay, I'll put it in here again just to make sure.
And it would say you've already signed up for this list.
Okay.
You click the button.
Okay.
Okay, I'll see to do it tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, it's right on my contact page on Chris DeGennia.
Yeah, on the contact page, that's okay. All right, now I know. Okay, I can find it. Save it's not 11:30 to me.
Wow, you're a night owl.
almost midnight.
Unless you could just leave like me in the middle of America.
Asleep.
You just have to stay awake. All you have to do is pretend you're me in middle America. It's only about 4:30 here.
That's right.
Yeah. You've got quite a ways to go. If you just, you know, it's all a matter of thought, and you just have to, you know.
Yeah, you have to get used to it.
Kind of neat.
But the time, half an hour further to the east, and then it's midnight.
Yeah, well.
That's what it is. Okay, anyway, see you in 2 weeks, I suppose. About 2 weeks.
Okay, we'll be here. Recording here. And thank you, Matthew, and thank you, Tia. And it's been great to have you here.
Right.
May Yahweh bless you all.
Yeah, bless you all. Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye.
You too, sir.
Bye-bye.